Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your host. I am your host of Straight Talk. We are that talk show that is made for men by men. Not even ladies want to miss it, even when the ladies don't like what we're talking about. We are the show that addresses life, love, money, social challenges. We always address those topics from a man's perspective, one that's rarely heard here in the great nation called the United States. And tonight will be no different. I will have a few people joining me in this conversation to talk about a politically incorrect subject, probably one that most people dare not mention or say out loud anywhere, even if they're thinking it. So we are Straight Talk. I invite you to join us in this conversation. It's going to be very, very provocative. I invite you to share this video. Smash that like button when you come in. And let's make this topic valuable. Even if it's difficult to have, unpopular, we may even have the ladies screaming somewhere in the back, or they may even call in to tell me how awful I am to even consider this. So you see the topic. Would society be more prosperous if only married women had the right to vote? Already I'm seeing messages that are questioning, am I serious for even broaching this subject? And yes, I am. I'm actually very serious. So this is going to be, we've addressed this topic in some form or fashion in the past, and it wasn't too popular back then, and I assume there won't be much difference in this conversation today. And I'm going to bring up some stats and statistics. You know, the question is, are women really benefiting? Is society benefiting? Even if are women benefiting from being able to vote? Perhaps on the surface, it seems like, at least from a woman's perspective, they'll say all these wonderful things that you can do, except for some reason, women are less happy now than they were in the past. So are women getting what they really anticipated? I'm going to show, as you know, I like sharing my screen. I'm going to bring up a woman who's going to talk about that. So you've heard me say capital, money, dinero. It comes with responsibility. And women really aren't taking those responsibilities on in the same way men are. So if they're not taking on the same responsibilities with capital, are we seeing the same thing happen when it comes to voting or having the right to vote? So we're going to discuss all of these things and much more. I would assume it's a topic that most people do not care to have, except tonight we are, without a doubt, going to have this conversation. Ladies, I understand you feel like you worked so hard and you have rights. So do men. And I understand the whole notion that we live in a patriarchy that is, you claim, oppressing you. And perhaps some ladies can call in and explain exactly how you're being oppressed. Because I'm having a difficult time understanding how women are oppressed. What are the things that you cannot do that you claim you want to do? I mean, we give you responsibility to vote, and we're going to look at what do women choose? Do married women choose differently than single women? How does that affect society? How does that affect government spending? Where's government spending gone since 1920? So you all know we had the 19th Amendment, 1920, that gave women the right to vote. So here we are 101 years later, not exactly, but almost. So we're really 100 years from that August of 1920. What's changed for our society? How has our society advanced in a way that's directly related to women voting? What's going on, PJ? Good to see you in the house. Hey, PJ, right. So 77% of consumer spending is from women. Right, so women have complained that they haven't had opportunities, except if you go back more than 100 years, women were still heirs to their father or grandfather's legacy, their wealth. So women have had access to money, and for 100 years, for sure, they've had it. And in 100 years, how many industries have women created? How many companies trading on the stock exchange were founded by women? ASW. Yep. So we're going to talk about the difference in a married woman and a single woman and what they vote for. And we'll look at the reality, the stats, the not my opinion on this stuff. Interesting, Sean Hensley. So you answered the question. Single women vote for free stuff. But we're going to dig into this. Really dig into it. Interesting, PJ. What's going on, country boy? Good to see you in the house, man. Thanks for joining. Let's see. She'll be up in a second. So, guys, as you come in, smash that like button. Share this video. What's going on, country boy? How you feeling, man?
Good evening to you. How's it going?
All right. Thanks for joining, man. You see,
Yes, sir. I'm just glad I called you.
So, hold on. Hey, guys, this is a provocative, controversial, it's a topic that probably won't make many women happy, and even a lot of guys who, in the U.S., there are probably more men who are feminists than they realize, or at least would admit. So there are a lot of guys who may find this topic offensive also, and we're just asking a question. I'm only asking a question. Would society be more prosperous if only married women had the right to vote? And perhaps there are some assertions that we could make that would support society may be in a different place. And where has money gone? How is progress? You know, and so what have women done with all these rights that they have? Or if they're still oppressed, then we could talk about a solution for that also. They may not like it, but it's a real solution. So smash the like button, guys, as you come in. Share the video. We want to bring as many people in on this conversation, and If those of you would like to come up on a stage and or you know someone, male or female, who'd like to come up here and rumble with me because they don't like the topic, let's get it on. Invite them in.
Oh, I'm liking it.
So what do you think of the topic?
Excellent.
Excellent, huh? So I'm going to have some guests here before I bring them in. So I had some thoughts, and let me express what some of my thoughts were. Some of you may say my logic. So here were some thoughts. For the past 100 years, women have had the right to vote. Has society benefited? If you ask women, they're going to say it has. However, it's going to be difficult for them to quantify exactly how their votes have advanced society. Right now, there are more single mothers today than there were 100 years ago. And so if we look at the facts of the matter, single mother households, they create emotional trauma for children. Once you take one parent out of the house, I don't care if it's divorce, death, they just ghost the family and never show up, whatever the reason, that those children will experience emotional trauma from being abandoned by the parent. The parent that's gone is abandonment, and it's called emotional trauma. There's no way around it, and the woman who just says, I'm going to love my children more, and then if you as a woman take on a career and you're not there much, the child is kind of getting abandoned twice. So there's a lot of trauma happening in single parent households. And if we look at studies, it shows that single fathers are actually doing a better job raising children than single mothers. So when you have repeated cycles of emotional trauma for generations, society loses. This is the thing that people need to really think about. And if we look at some of the results, increased incarceration, increased drug addiction, increased dropout from school, from high school, over 80% of people in prison come from a single parent household. And you can just go down the statistics of what happens, the disadvantages and the things that are not in the best interest of a human being or society that come out of single mother households. So women have been able to survive as single mothers because they repeatedly vote for government handouts. They also ask the government to demand that military, the police, firefighters, corporate America, teachers, even the education system, the university level, women are asking that the bar be dropped so that they can be hired or they can be admitted. So how does that benefit society? When your military drops the bar so that the soldiers are what we once had, there's a bar for men. If you don't meet the bar, you don't get accepted. Now women are asking that the bar be lowered so that they can come in. And taxpayers are paying for women who technically are not qualified to be there. To be a firefighter, you need to be able to carry a 200-pound body. Women haven't been able to do that. So what did we do? Well, we lowered the standard on that so they don't have to carry 200 pounds so they can be a firefighter. How is this beneficial? And then they still want to be paid equal. Come on. So without those, if we didn't lower the standards, many women would have to depend on a man for her financial well-being. And you know what? Traditionally, that was a great path for a two-parent household in a healthier society. When married women look at the government, they're more concerned about laws that impact their family, right? So a married woman has the option naturally, whether if she works or she wants to stay home and take care of the family and her husband or children. So she's less concerned about welfare programs and handouts because she's got a husband who's taking care of things. And the last thing she wants is to have her husband, or even if she works, paying into a government program, paying taxes that go to handouts, free meal tickets for people. You know, the women who say they can make it on their own, and by on their own, they mean the government or the taxpayer funds their living expenses. Married women would rather see programs that benefit her entire family. And that means she's looking out for what is in the best interest of the whole. Single women are interested in their own self-interest because they've been told men are controlling them. Man wants you to change his last name so the whole family, that you've got unity amongst the family. She's been told where a man is going to keep you in the kitchen and the bedroom. So we have this conflict, and it affects voting. So imagine if our money for government handouts were used for more infrastructure projects or to somehow support, finance, jumpstart entrepreneurs, whether they want to do business with the government or it's money that gets deployed through other like small business agencies, the banking system that would have that money allocated just for businesses. Would our society be better off? Would we have created more jobs if the government used money for expanding the country and we had a smaller government? So is it time we rethink who's qualified to make decisions in this nation when it comes to voting? Might sound like an ugly conversation, because here we are.
Not looking at it from an ethical and an economic outlook.
Okay.
Because if you notice, it's not that these men are controlling. These men have been put in charge of everything. It's more so that to say that they are, they just trying to be controlling and tyrannical.
Well,
that's my take.
The fact of the matter is civilization has been built by society. So, I mean, civilization has been built by men. And women will claim, well, they help. But when you ask specifically, what did you do to build? So, anyway, I'm not going to do this show alone. I'm going to bring someone in with me. The Red Pill Rican, you guys know him. We did a show already on testosterone, building that power, right? What's going on? I see you feeding the power, feeding the beast.
Yeah, I just got back from the gym doing legs, so.
Oh, man, legs. Yeah, that's a big muscle and a serious workout. How you feeling, man?
Tired, but let's get the show on the road. Where's everybody else at?
What happened to your boy?
I know one of them say he gets up at exactly 7, and I don't know what's up with 6. I mean, I can hit him up.
He'll be in about 20 minutes probably.
It'll probably gonna be us for a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, he'll get home at 7:30. So
that was funny. He's getting in when I got my mom.
like chipmunk, man. Like, you know how those chipmunk or the
chipmunk, man, like squirrels. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I showed that study a while ago where it showed that single fathers not only do a better job of raising kids, but are more financially stable. And so even with single mothers with degrees are not making as much money as single fathers without it. And I know someone's going to bring up, oh, the pay wage gap. Listen, it's been shown time and time again that men get paid more because we're actually more competitive when it comes to money. We'll take the overtimes, we'll feed the initiative. We're willing to move if the job requires. Exactly. We're willing to do what it takes to actually excel. Women pretty much are looking for the same, if not more, for doing less or the same. That's not how it's going to work. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to make the same amount of money that man is doing, put in the same amount of overtime you're putting in. Go ahead and move across state lines if that's what's necessary. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and bring up ideas at that business table. Don't be sitting back on receive mode, you know, just listening while everyone else is chipping in.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Women take 60% more sick leave than men in the workforce.
Yeah, and more likely to leave. Like, the careers don't last as long. They're more likely to leave because of family reasons as well. So, so who you think? People think that you should get paid equally, just because, oh, I went to the same school with the same credentials and we got the same job at the same time. Well, jobs pay you on your value. You know what I'm saying? So, if you're not bringing much value to the company as much as the next person, why should you? Should they pay you the same?
Well, so, and like you just said, men are more willing to put in more time, right? They work longer hours, and this is factual. Women who in the Department of Labor will tell you this, they're willing to relocate and they're willing to travel. If the job says, look, you're going to be traveling a lot throughout the month, the men will do it. Women are like, oh, I can't take that job, or I've got, and imagine if you're a single mother, it's going to be even more difficult for a single mother to do this. So I never understood, even as a little boy, when women said, I'd rather do this on my own. It's like, well, now you're going to be working and you still have to cook and clean for your kids. How are you better off? Like, and the kids suffer. That the emotional trauma, you can't have generations of kids being traumatized emotionally and think it will never have an impact.
And you see, what sucks is that you never hear the father's side of the story either, because a lot of these boys or girls, when they grow up, they're going to grow up thinking like, well, men ain't shit. You know, hey, my father did this. Well, hold on. But did you actually, you only hear one side of the story. You know what I'm saying? You only hear about what role mommy had and why she's a single mother. Like, did you ask her why everything's the way it is? I mean, did you get the other guy's side of the story? Maybe he doesn't even know the kid exists. So, I mean, that's possible as well. I know of guys where they didn't find out 2 years later because that woman wanted that back pay for the child support. So you got that going on as well. So what
do you think of this topic? Would society be more prosperous if only married women had the right to work?
Yeah, because for the reason you stated, women are naturally about self-preservation. They're not thinking about the interests of everybody else. They're thinking about what's in their best interest. And like you said, it's affecting jobs as well. They're thinking, hey, well, I can't do this, so you need to lower this. Like, why? Like, we have a working process that's been going on for years. Why should we change it up because you can't do it? You know, why should we compensate for what you can't do or your decisions? And that's another reason why a lot of these politicians, especially these Democrats, they tend to cater to women, because they know most women actually, women, what's that word I'm looking for? More women than men vote.
Right.
So
right.
There's a reason why they got all these programs that's giving out all this money. And it costs us a lot of money. I can't remember how much money single mothers cost us, but it's an astronomical number. So we got, so a lot of people say, like, why do you care? Why does it affect you? Yes, it does. It's, your taxes are paying for them. So it does affect you whether you see it or not.
And there's also, I don't know if I'm going to be able to show this. Oh, you know what? I think I can figure out how to do this.
What is it?
Spending since 1920.
Isn't that around the time when the whole feminist movement started picking up steam?
No, that women had the 19th Amendment is what gave women the right to vote. That happened in 1920.
Okay, yeah, I think that's also coincides with the feminist movement, if I'm not mistaken, in the 1920s. It was
absolutely
called the Progressive Era.
Absolutely. So let's see if I can show this.
Yeah, I'll brush up a little of my 7th, 8th grade history here. But yeah, I mean, why can't you show it?
I should be able to. I had a PDF file of it, so, but now
we're giving Gary Broad too much credit. Like, what you mean? Be specific. What you mean we're giving them too much credit? When women start families, man, have you ever been inside a single mother's house, man? Sometimes that place is a wreck. I'm telling you, man. See, how you do that? I'm trying to do that for my lives, and I couldn't get it to work the way you got it right now, man.
So, here's, right now, I'm highlighting something right here. It's, okay.
Damn, that shot up.
Right, so look, here's 1920. And the 19th Amendment passed right there. That's where women were allowed to vote. and look what government spending did up until 2000.
Well,
so the budget, the federal budget, see, this was the federal budget as a percentage of GDP, right? So that's how they're measuring it, right? So as the nation grows, the budget for the federal government grows. What? And you can see, look at this. From 1830, it was under 5%. Look at that, under 5%. It just stayed. It stayed. Look at the numbers that it stayed from 1830, right? So, and until 1930, still under 5%. But the jump, it looks like it almost doubled right after the 1920, right?
A little more than double, yeah. A little more than that, looks like.
Right, so look at that. It's almost doubles as soon as women could vote. And so they managed. So imagine you're paying taxes in a country where the federal budget is less than 5% of U.S. GDP. So your taxes, they're not so bad. But somewhere, as soon as women start voting, it gets over 5%. And now, right now, it's 20%. That's a lot of tax dollars going to what? One of the things that I've never heard anyone talk about, and that is when it comes to like primary school education, high school. I read this article, and this is an example of something women would vote for. So if you want your son to major, or you want your child to major in math or science, it costs money. Like a lot of, this woman tried to debate with me. She said, well, the programs are free. Yes, they're free for you, except someone has to pay that teacher. You have materials. Somewhere it's costing the nation money to have this program for math and science for high school students. So for every dollar it costs to get a boy to major in math and science in college, like to get him to move on from high school in math and science to college, it costs $5 to get a girl to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine, imagine back in the day for 100 bucks, you got 100 boys to major in math and science. And that's how we were building our nation and why we were being so innovative. But now since you start pushing girls, what happens? You still have a $100 budget. So if you put the whole 100 bucks on girls, you get 20 girls for 100 bucks as opposed to 100 boys. And if you try to break it off 50-50, you know, you get 50 guys and what? You get 10 girls. So and now if you push it mostly for girls, you're going to start getting less and less. And then what you said, women get pregnant. They don't want to major in that anymore. They leave the job. You know, all kinds of things happen. But what it does is it starts milking the education system. And you start to see a correlation between the United States used to have the number one education system in the world. And shortly after those 1970s, it starts dropping. Because it costs more money to get women, to get girls to do things that boys are just kind of naturally interested in. And the thing is, not all boys are interested in math and science and engineering. And that's okay. But we're trying to push it on to girls and say you have to. So we're willing to pay extra to get girls to major in math and science, even though it's damaging the entire education system.
That's like with certain medical cares, you know, like in Canada, for example, people think, hey, they get free health care. They treat their people better. But yeah, they also get taxed out the ass for that stuff.
Oh, yeah, right.
As a matter of fact, and it takes so long to get service over there because they're like, hey, you know, I'm paying for tax for it. Might as well go for every little thing. It gets so overflowing that the Canadian government will actually tell people, hey, just cross over to the U.S. border and go over there and we'll take on the bill.
Oh, man, so, really?
So that's what goes on with that. So nothing is ever free. So when people say, hey, this country has it for free, it's not free. Someone is paying for it. like that student loan debt forgiveness. You think it's going to disappear and out of thin air? No, someone's going to pay for that. That stuff is not free. I mean, let's get real. And that's another thing about what you say about pushing women to go to school and all this. Because I've seen it for myself in the medical programs where women fail, you know, and then they go over to these majors that are oversaturated, typically psychology, and then they accumulate debt there because they can't find a job in that field. So it's pretty much, I hate saying it, psychology is like the, it's like where a lot of the medical program rejects go. You know, say, hey, this is too hard.
Right.
Yeah, that's where a lot of them go. So already, like, a few people failed from the program I was in. So it's like, but hey, wait over a year to see a doctor. Yeah, they take a long time. So they say, hey, you can either wait or you can cross over to the U.S., you know, take time out of your day and commute. They're seen over there and then come back over this way. So it's not that women are jealous of men. It's just that they get sold this narrative of, hey, you know, you could see, there's a thing where men and women are not equal in many aspects. And people don't want to accept that. You know, not biologically, like psychologically, physiologically. I don't know why people are pushing so hard, you know, to fight back against that. But
well, actually, that's unfair. It's unfair to girls to not allow them to be their biological, their natural self, and try to force them to be something they're not. And that they're
exactly.
going to end up with all kinds of health problems because of that.
And I guarantee if you ask the average working woman out there, they would much rather sit at home and be a housewife and chill out at home. They don't want to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, worry about bills and taxes. You know what I'm saying? Most of them don't want to do that. I mean, there are women out there who I know are workaholics. Like, I know doctors where they would literally be the first ones there and the last ones to leave on their own will, even show up during vacation time. I mean, just because. But most women out there, they don't have that kind of ambition and drive, you know, because that is against their nature. So,
amen.
But then again, huh?
Go ahead.
Yeah, but then again, they're put into a position to where they either, you know, go to work or they're going to be broke living with their parents with a child. So that's the situation they put themselves in.
Exactly.
And like someone else said, the powers that be, that's like the feminist movement. You got to look at who funded that whole thing. So I really think there's a deliberate attempt to destroy families, and it starts where you try to push women to be something they're not and men to be something that we're not. And what you get is a weak society that's not as productive.
Right. I want to take a couple of phone calls. I have two. Area code 870 and 405. You're both on live and on the air with Straight Talk. 870, what's your name and where are you calling from? And then 405.
Yeah, Ted, I'm sitting there listening to your boy. He was saying exactly what I'm getting ready to tell you. It's an agenda being pushed to the structure, the family household structure, Ted.
Okay, absolutely. Yep.
I done noticed it for a couple of years. You know, the real pandemic, a lot of these, like he said, a lot of these single mothers, single parent households. I rarely ever see a whole lot of single fathers out here, but I see a whole lot of single mothers now, Ted. You have to ask yourself, now isn't that backwards?
It is. And society's paying for it, so.
That's usually how it works, man.
405, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from? And our topic is, would society be more prosperous if only married women had the right to vote?
Hey, what's going on, Ted? This is Chris.
What's up? Thanks.
Am I loud and clear?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right. The feminist movement actually started in 1848. Would society be better if only married women were allowed to vote? No, because remember, the feminist movement started and gained momentum because a small group of lesbians convinced married women who were the happiest women had ever been were being oppressed. So bottom line is women are too stupid to, they just don't have the mental capacity to be given something like the right to vote. They just don't have the faculties for it. And it's been proven every year they vote against their own interests. They vote against the interests of society, right? They only vote for themselves. Welfare may be good for them individually, but collectively, it's horrible for the country.
Correct.
I mean, people are being taxed. Everything they do is just, I mean, look at them. They go, like you were talking about, them get into these STEM fields that they know they don't want to be in. They know, they just see men making a lot of money being engineers, being doctors, being scientists, whatever, and they just think, oh, that guy makes a lot of money. It must be easy. And then they start studying for it, and they start off, as freshmen, but by the time they get to the senior year, no, they've always switched to psychology. And then when they graduate, they find out they're competing with 200 other women who also have degrees in psychology, and they can't understand why they can't make more than $30,000 a year. They were told that if they went to college and they got this four-year degree, that they'd automatically be making $100,000, right? So they figured, oh, well, since being an engineer was too hard, I'll just switch to psychology. I'll get that four-year psychology degree, and I'll still be making $100 because I have a degree. Wrong.
So you don't think that that married women would think more about their family than a single woman is only thinking about her own self-interest?
No, married women are just as stupid as single women.
Okay.
They're still women.
Okay.
They're still women. And as a matter of fact, look now, you still have here's a litmus test, for all women, Ask them, they see how horrible and how irresponsible women have been with their right to vote. Ask them, would they be willing to repeal the 19th Amendment? Every last one of them will say no, even though they're going to continue to be irresponsible with their right to vote. So married women are just as bad because they're not going to vote against these feminists, these man-hating feminists. They're not going to vote against them. They're going to go right inside them because they don't want any of their rights being taken away, even though it would be a good thing for them. They don't want responsibility, but they're constantly asking for more and more responsibility, for more rights, for more responsibility. The same, we want the same men that, but you don't want the same responsibilities. They want equal. They don't want they want equality of outcome. They don't want equality of opportunity.
Well, and what I think women don't fully comprehend is the responsibility that comes with capital. So when you give a man capital, he goes out and he works, he makes an exchange, a trade for his physical labor or his brain power. And you give him capital in return. And what does he do? He meets a woman, he makes children, he makes sure his wife and children are well fed, they're well housed, they have clothes, and his children are well educated, so they have the best chance to succeed in life. What does a woman do? Is she gets the same capital and she goes shopping. So she says, I don't need a man.
Right.
And so she doesn't invest the same in her children the way men will do it. And in addition to the man investing in his family, men will start entirely new industries. They will risk it all. There are guys who said, honey, I'm sorry. I started a new industry, was going in the right direction. Someone beat me. And now we're losing the house, right? So, or we have to downsize. This has happened. I think the guy who started LinkedIn, before he did LinkedIn, he started some online business and it failed. He was 40 years old and he had to move back with his parents, with his wife, who was they just found out she was pregnant. But what did he do? He turned around and took another shot with his capital and hit it big with LinkedIn. Women are not creating new industries. They're not saying, hey, give me the capital and I'll go out and meet a man and say, hey, I'll take care of you and the children. They don't want that responsibility. They just want to go shopping. And statistically, 77% of consumer purchases are made by women.
And so that brings another point that about how they don't innovate. pretty much what they do is they wait for the men to invent it, and then they come along after and say, hey, we can do this too. But it's like, where were you during the testing phases, you know, when we were laying down the groundwork? Now you're telling us you can do the same thing. I mean, we're over here inventing, but you want to be able to take credit and say you can do the same thing that we put together. Like, how does that work? You know? And like the Wright brothers, for example, I don't think a lot of people know this, but they stood away from women in marriage because they said they didn't have time for a plane and a wife. It was either or. So that's another story a lot of people don't realize right there. So I guess you could say, like, if you're familiar with the whole MGTOW movement, they were the original MGTOW where they gave up on women for something greater. And look at that. And the whole world knows who they are.
Nikola Tesla did the same.
Was probably the most original.
He had involvement with women, and then he saw, like, hey, if I'm going to do the things I want to do, you got to, I don't have time for you. Goodbye. And
you see, and a lot of people try to say, like, the greatest innovators were also married also, but you got to look, how is the household? You can't be one of the world's greatest innovators and be a good husband. Something has to give. You can't do both, you know? It takes a lot of time to become someone important, but it also takes a lot of time to be a good husband. You can't split that evenly because they make you average at both, if that makes sense.
Well,
like, you have to give your all to something.
What Einstein, his wife said that he would go lock himself in his room and start working on something, and she knew not to bother him except to cook him a good meal and bring him some food because he wouldn't come out. So, and the same with Thomas Edison.
That's what I'm saying. That's
well, you
got
to think about
distractions from a man's purpose.
Think about it. Ted, what happens when a man starts hitting his stride at his job? You know, he starts working more hours, you know, taking on more projects, and he doesn't really have time for her, right? So now, instead of her appreciating the fact that he's bringing in more money, he's making her life more comfortable, making it easier for her and her children, what does she do? She complains, probably cheats, or ends up divorcing him, and she says, well, I'm doing it because you're not spending enough time with me. I'm feeling unwanted or blah, blah, blah. But meanwhile, he's doing all this just to afford her the lifestyle that she wants. Because as a single man, you know, $50,000, $60,000 a year, you're just fine.
Right.
You see, women forget that their job is to be supportive, you know, not trying to dictate to the man what he needs to be doing. Let the man do what he needs to do, and he'll make sure that the needs are taken care of. You know, they seem to have forgotten their role in that aspect. But, I mean.
Yeah, I actually guess that
we see right now, he'll cheat on him. Well, yeah, I remember back then there was no social media, so she couldn't just branch off as easily. Now, all you need is a cell phone, and she can pick up a new man in like 5 minutes. But right now, I would say it's a bad time to actually get commitment. Come tell you, man. It's gonna
You're not going to get commitment.
Time, but we're getting on topic. But
yeah, married women should not have voting rights either. Like you said earlier, way back in earlier shows, TFM. Only large landowners, women that are large landowners, women that are business owners, and I'm not talking about, you know, some broad who happens to have, you know, a Facebook page where she sells cake pops, you know, or some little, you know, friendship bracelets or some stupid shit like that. No, I'm talking about a woman who has a business who actually has employees. She's created jobs, right? And veterans.
Yeah, the payroll.
Right.
Right.
Well, and if you're not a veteran, you know, in a combat duty status, then I think that if you haven't been willing to serve the country, this is my personal opinion, if you haven't been willing to serve the country, you shouldn't have the right to vote anyway. If you go to a lot of countries overseas, you can't even go to college unless you do 2 years in the military.
Israel is one of those places.
Yeah.
I think Japan also.
There's even some countries in Europe like that. You can't even go to college unless you do 2 years in the military. And it stops that whole give me, give me, give me thing, which is what women are. They just want everything given to them. And they're solipsistic. You know, they only care about, they don't care about the greater good. They only care about themselves.
So, that's the point of asking about voting. So if men are looking at the big picture, and, you know, and we've been doing that since we were boys. I never understood how they could say girls were more mature than boys when we were, as boys, already looking at big picture. You know, if I get a wife, I'm going to have kids, and I'm going to do this, and I want this kind. We're thinking about the big picture. I'm going to take care of my wife. And women are just thinking about, well, I'm going to marry the prince who's going to make me feel good. And I'm going to have the fairy tale wedding. And so as boys, as we grow older, we start to understand more and more about the big picture, how politics and business and education and all these things come together to make a society, and how one impacts the other. And I don't
think I can tell you.
Women don't necessarily have the same care about that. And just as what you were saying, I think, Chris, you were saying that the woman says, well, I want this lifestyle. So the man works his butt off, and he works 60, 70 hours a week. And she then complains and says, well, I'm raising the kids by myself. It's like, well, which one do you want, the lifestyle, or do you want me home?
So that's right. You know, you can't excel at one thing. And right. You can't excel at two things. You got to pick one or the other.
So there's a big picture. So they're not seeing the full spectrum. And so if you just look at that as a mindset, and then you say, now we're going to vote for politicians, and she still has a narrow mindset about, well, what's in it for me, and all I care about is what's going to benefit me, or a woman's movement, then she's going to make decisions that don't support the big picture. And I showed this, I don't know if you saw that, you're on Blog Talk. Chris, I was showing how government spending as a percentage.
Yeah, I was watching that.
That's insanity.
Yeah, it is. And it's been going like that for decades. And it's simply because, you know, women are cash cows. That's it. They don't understand that they're being sacrificed, you know, because they know that if you give a woman a dollar, right, somehow you'll be able to get two back from her. She'll be able to go and manipulate some man out of his dollar or two, and then she'll take that dollar or two that she got from that man plus her dollar and give it all right back to you. So they're constantly being manipulated. And I'll tell you how they're able to say that girls are, you know, smarter than boys or more mature than boys. They simply manipulate reality. And what I mean by that is girls mature faster than boys, right? Your average girl, she hits puberty by about 9 or 10 years old, right? And with puberty comes your intelligence, right? So your intelligence, so they hit that bit of intelligence faster than boys. Boys don't mature to around, hit puberty to around 12, maybe 13, right? So that whole time before that boy hits 12 or 13, it's a fact that girls are smarter than him, you know? Their IQs are higher. Not only that, but the way the curriculum in schools is geared, it's geared towards the way they learn. So as a boy, you're 12, 13 years old, not only are you competing in a system against them that was built for them, don't have the IQ to match them, right? But then what happens at 13? At 13, a young male's IQ, it damn near doubles, right? And it skyrockets past hers to the point where women never, ever catch up. Never catch up. That's why you see matter of fact, I think that's why women, even adult women, when you have debates with them, they get childish because they're still stuck right when they hit puberty. That's where their minds are still stuck at. Meanwhile, a man's IQ was constantly, you know, it's constantly excelling, you know, constantly getting higher. And it's because we have to face more adversity than them. You know, if someone sees a woman going through something tough, they'll just run over and help her, and she's never able to be forced to figure that out on her own. Whereas a guy's going through something tough, hey, man up, right? That's what we tell him. Man up, figure the shit out on your own. And like you said, when he has to figure something out on his own, it creates a new neural path. And when that neural path is created, it leads to more things that he can learn. It leads to more things that interest him, more things that he can learn. And it just increases his IQ. Meanwhile, hers stays stagnant because she's never forced to figure out anything on her own.
I wanted big thanks, SW, for the super chat. By nature, men build, women take selfishness at its finest. What do you guys think of that? Man, every civilization has been built by men, and they built it. So there are conveniences for women. And he's saying women take.
Yeah, women have it easy, man. All they have to do is just let us do the work. Just do what you're supposed to do, you know what I'm saying? But instead, not only do they want you to do the work, but like this guy said, they also want to be able to take credit for it. But you know what? It's men's fault, because you got men who are successful who probably already had the wheels going before or already during when they met their woman, but then they want to credit their success to her. It's like, what does she do for you? Like, what's she do? Give you emotional support? How does that support, you know, what you became today? You know what I'm saying? It's like, what's that say? Like, what's that saying? That behind every great man is an even greater woman. It's like, oh, really? So how did that happen? I want someone to explain that to me exactly. How does that work? Because me, I'll be dead if someone comes along and try to say, hey, like, I helped them. Like, no, the fuck you did not.
I made you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no,
yeah,
well,
look at all those NBA.
You are not a part of it. You didn't have a hand in it.
Well, look at all the NBA players and all the NFL players that get divorced. Their wives always say that they helped them. Like, wait a minute, no, that man started that craft way back in grade school, way back before he even knew you, way back before, you know, he could even get an erection to stick it inside you. But somehow you think you helped him get to where he is? Get the fuck out of here. No, that man is where he is because he's got his daddy's genes in him.
Mm-hmm.
Women were given the credit for what men put together,
give it to women once again. So it's like, so what are us men here for if everything's going to fall back to the woman getting credit for what men put together? You know what I'm saying? Like, how did it get there in the first place?
Go ahead.
No, that was it. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's like the mother whose single mother's son goes to the NFL and she says, well, it's because of me. It's like, no. He practiced every day. He's the one who put in the grueling exercises till he was vomiting. And you may have said, I know you can do it, except if he didn't go out there and do the work, nothing would have happened.
Mm-hmm. It's like they want to be
the first thing,
a cheerleader. It's like, that's not how it works. You know what I'm saying?
Have you talked to a lot of those athletes, you'll find out that their mothers weren't taking them to practice. They had to walk to practice. They had to walk home from practice. They had to go out and get odd jobs just to pay for their shoes, you know, because their mother wouldn't buy them shoes or she couldn't afford it or whatever. So she did nothing really to support them other than put a roof over their head, which, I mean, let's be honest, you know, if the kids would have went homeless, the state would have come in and took them from her and given them to somebody else. So that child was going to have a roof over his head regardless. But all the support that she claimed she, you know, that she was giving them to get them there. No, she didn't. As a matter of fact, Ward Dunn, who was a running back for Florida State, he had to support, you know, going through high school, he had to support him and his five brothers and sisters because his mom was a crackhead, I think. So, no, they're not supporting these. And then for some odd reason, when these guys make it big, the first thing they do is buy their mom a house. They buy the person who never supported them and helped them get there a house, and they take care of her.
About Aaron Hernandez, the football player, the guy who just – but basically, there's a documentary that came out that showed that his mom was pretty much harassing him for a couple mil, like she was entitled to it. Yeah. And Aaron Hernandez was like, no, like I'm not going to give you the money. And meanwhile, his mom – after his father passed, pretty much neglected him and treated him like shit for other men. So it's like she wanted a piece of his success just because she maybe did the bare necessities of the legal terms of taking care of a child. It's like, no, like you did nothing that, you know, for his success. It was the father when he was still around saw that athletic competition and ability in him. It was the one that was working with him and his brother until he passed. The mother was just pretty much just there. And she was on the phone while he was in prison, by the way, talking about how she wanted some of the money as well. But if you guys, you can go ahead and check out the documentary. I'm not sure where it starts, but that infuriated me. I was like, what makes her think she's entitled to his money just because, you know, she let him stay under the same roof? Like, that's your job as a mother, for one. So
there was a running back who played for Alabama, Trent Richardson was his name. This guy went number one in the NFL draft. First of all, he won the Heisman, won several national championships, went number one in the draft, got a huge contract. But, you know, within 1 year, his team traded him, and he ended up getting kicked out of the NFL because his mother kept showing up at his practice. His mother was a drug addict. She kept showing up at practice and disrupting practice, and she would not leave until he gave her money. So every time she showed up, he would have to give her, you know, a couple thousand dollars. He'd already bought her, you know, a car and all that, but she smoked it all up. So, but she just wanted more money. So she would keep showing at his practice, being disruptive, till the coaches finally said, look, the coaches and the team, we've had enough of this. And they just traded him. And then less than a year after he traded him, he actually got kicked out of the league. I think he just got picked up now in the Canadian Football League. But, I mean, think about that. You went from number one pick in the NFL draft to, in less than 2 years, you're out of the NFL. And it's not because you weren't producing. It's not because you didn't have the talent, you didn't have the work ethic. It's simply because your mother was being a disruption to the team.
So these are – what you all are talking about is a mindset that affects decision-making. And so if you just look at those incidents and sort of extrapolate how that happens in more than one case, because someone, Magnetic Vortex, said that a recent Brookings Institute poll shows women institute 84% of divorce. And I'm sure if we look at it, you're going to see a lot of that says irreconcilable differences, right? So not lacking the ability to resolve conflict or even resolve conflict that she created, right? Sabotage, because women's brains worry about things when there isn't a problem. So that's the mindset that gets taken to the polls. So from what you guys are saying, and I see the sentiment in the chats, it doesn't matter if a woman's married or single. That's a woman's mindset. She's going to bring that to the voting booth and make decisions the same way she makes them in her life. Like they say, the way you do things is the way you do everything.
Right. And they're going to vote based on their emotions. They're going to do everything based on their emotions.
And what's in it for them? Because the only reason why they're initiating divorce is because they know they're going to get compensated for it. If they weren't getting compensated the way the courts will, you think they'll go ahead and initiate divorce? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what's the point of you even getting married if basically, you know, as a man, you pretty much, you have to hold up your end of the bargain. And even after she leaves, you still have to keep paying her on the way out. So it's a win for women. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you get married, you get provided for. You leave the marriage, hey, you get a severance pay in essence. You know what I'm saying? But meanwhile, for us guys, it's a lose-lose, even when she's not with you. So why wouldn't they initiate divorce if they get this huge, you know, incentive?
Right, he's right. They initiate divorce because they have that safety net. They have that safety net of, I can get child support, I can get alimony or spousal support, you know, so I'm still going to get paid even if I divorce you. So if I marry you, it's a win. If I divorce you, it's a win. So either way, they come out on top.
Someone said for a large percentage of women, marriage is like landing a dream job. Then a couple of years later, demanding half ownership in the business that hired you. Family law overwhelmingly favors women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the quickest way for a woman to become a millionaire in this country is still to marry a millionaire and then divorce him.
Absolutely.
With all the strides that they've made, they claim to have made, you know, and how smart they are, and oh, we're doing it, we're so tough, we're strong. The quickest way for them to become a millionaire is still to marry a man that's a millionaire, then divorce him and take his shit. Not
and
how to make
a
million on their own.
Yeah, they still need men to make it way up. So who should be working for who here? You know what I'm saying? So women in Africa rarely initiate divorce if there are no incentives for that. You see, there should be an incentive to get divorced. It's like, you know, you need to have a very good reason to get divorced and be able to prove it. Was he abusing you? Was he life in danger? Serial cheater? Okay, you should be getting divorced because, okay, now hit that 10-year mark. I want to get out this marriage. I want half his paycheck and his retirement. You know, like, wait, what? Like, come on, man.
I don't even think women should be able to get a divorce if the man was cheating. If the man was cheating, that man should have the opportunity to take whatever woman he was cheating with on as his wife And as a matter of fact, he'd probably be forced to take that woman on as his wife and move her ass into the home, too.
Polygamy that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know the place is big on polygamy. Where is he at, man?
I don't know.
Let me send him a message. He's
slapping. As a matter of fact, hey, Tay, I saw a video, and I could not stop laughing. I think it was on our Instagram. But this woman, she was Arab woman, and she kept complaining to her husband about her not being able to spend time with her friend, how she just wanted to go over her friend's house and spend time with her friend or whatever. And her husband was like, no, you're going to keep your ass at home. And so she kept complaining so much that you know what her husband did? He went and married the friend and then moved her into his house. She was so pissed off. He said, well, wait a minute. Now you can hang out with her all day long. She's like, yeah, but that's not what I meant. He said, shut up. I don't want to hear it. She's here. You can hang with her. You said your problem was you weren't spending enough time with her. She's here all day long now. So you have the opportunity to hang out with her all day long. What's your problem now?
I want to take another caller, but before I do that, look, 100 years after the 19th Amendment, women experience higher rates of poverty across racial and ethnic groups. So if you look, poverty amongst men in the white community is 7.1%, and for women it's 9%. So if women want out of poverty, it's still get married. Black community, 19% for men, 22% for women. Asian, Pacific Islander, that's the reverse, 10.1 for men and 10.0 for women. Interesting. Hispanic, 18%? 15.7 for men and 19.7 for women. The American Indians, the highest, 21% for men, 24 for women. Other races, 12 and 15 higher for women. So they're saying 100 years after that women have higher rates of poverty after voting. So this is what I was asking. Has women voting advanced or benefited society? And based on that, the answer is no. They're not even benefiting. They have more poverty now than they had before.
More drug use, more depression.
Patriarchy.
The pay we've got to avoid. Yeah, that's what they blame every time. Even though the Department of Labor, like you said, showed the numbers that no, it's just that us men work harder, we bring more value, they're still going to try to find a way, you know, to try to blame men, the patriarchy, for why women are broke. And it's like that study that showed that women are finding men are not marriage material because they don't make enough money. Did they even bother asking us men why we're refusing to marry? I don't think that study included that. Exactly. And most of the women who were talking about how they said men were not marriage material, it wasn't that they couldn't find men who made more money. It's just that they couldn't find a man that makes as much money as they want the man to make. So, for example, she was making only $40,000 a year, but the guy was making $60,000. That's not enough for her. She wanted a guy that was making them six figures. So that's basically what it was. I mean, even though I'm making more money than you with no degree, you're telling me I'm not going to be marriage material because I can't give you the lavish lifestyle that you think you're entitled to? And that's basically what the study boiled down to right there. So
yeah, even when that man is making twice as much money than her, she could be making – I know women that work at Walmart who say, you know, they won't marry a man making, you know, less than a doctor or a lawyer or something, even though he could be making four times what she makes. This man could be making $80,000 a year where she only makes 20, but because he doesn't have a piece of paper that tells him he's a doctor or a lawyer, she won't marry him. Oh, he ain't marriage material. What?
And you see, I don't have a PhD, and I figured this out on my own. And, like, you kidding me? Like, I could tell the study was flawed. Again, and I don't have a PhD. Like, first off, does this study bother to ask us men? And secondly, what exactly is the salary of these women? They just said educated women. Okay, if that education is in cosmetology, she ain't making shit. You know what I'm saying? So what kind of degrees are they holding? How much money are they making? And what is their definition of a man as material? He said basically women who are broke themselves are struggling living paycheck to paycheck, but they want to die. So it's like a doctor or lawyer. It's like, no. You know what I'm saying? Clearly, men out there make more money than you. You're not entitled to a man's pockets just because you think so.
And don't forget they're four.
Well, you're not entitled, but that's the way society is. Society makes women believe that just because they're so-called beautiful, when they're not beautiful, it's just the gloss that they put on their face, and men believe the propaganda and the brainwashing, that we can get away with it. Okay? Now, when I happen to agree with the proposition that men, not men, but women, the biggest claim to fame is to marry somebody rich and to divorce them. And, of course, they can become the millionaires simply because they spread their legs and they know how to give a good blowjob. But while I was listening, I also heard one of the callers say, and I think it's indication of the same kind of neurosis or psychosis that a lot of women have, is that if a man is cheating on the woman, that's okay, and he should bring the woman into the household. Now, that's not an indication of a vitriolic, obsessive hatred towards females. I haven't heard it yet. That, to me, was a stupid statement. Everything else I've heard so far made sense. But to have a man go and get the woman that he's cheating and bring her into the household and not expect any kind of problems simply because he might control the current wife, that's about the dumbest shit. Okay.
Oh, really? Are you telling me that the Mormons?
Yeah, really.
The Mormons that do that they're dumb as shit. Because this is already happening.
The Mormons don't go out. The Mormons don't go out.
What I'm telling you is already happening.
And
it's already happening. And those homes, as a matter of fact, those homes are producing children.
But it's not polygamy based upon
that are intelligent
going out and getting a wife that he's cheating with. Isn't it against the Mormon religion to cheat?
I don't know. I'm not a Mormon.
Okay. Well, I'm going to assume.
But I know
maybe it isn't.
I know Mormons have more than one wife. And it's been proven
that it's polygamy that's involved. Yes. I agree with that. But if the woman agrees to it, then that's part of their religion, and they go along with it. I don't think
Let me explain it some to you. Why it would be better for her to allow him to bring that a new wife in? Because if she divorces him, it's been proven that single mothers raise the worst children. That child is either going to end up in jail or hell, you know. But children from polygamous homes, they still wind up being productive citizens. They still wind up intelligent. They still wind up, you know, a lot of times graduating from college, getting stable careers, being family people themselves. So it's far in a woman's interest that if a man is cheating, to let him just bring that other woman in as a wife rather than her to get divorced and struggle on her own and have her child end up in a fucking gang or end up being a prostitute because she had to end up raising that child by herself. And statistically speaking, that's what's going to happen.
Okay, but you're still comparing oranges to apples.
So,
yes.
Do I still hate women, or I'm just telling you facts?
Well, I think you still hate women. I mean, that fact, I don't know if it's a fact. But the thing is that it would seem to be that if a woman, if a child of a marriage in which there's a woman present, or even two or three wives or mothers present, he or she might grow up to be a responsible citizen if the family structure is also centered towards making that person a more responsible citizen. Single wives, single women today don't seem to have that particular type of theme going. They don't really seem to care. But
so
in the Mormon religion, if that's the one you're going to use, if that's the one you're going to use as your foundation, then if you're going to use the Mormon religion, you're just using the polygamous factor as a general rule?
No, I'm using the fact that it's been proven that when women raise children alone, they're failures. They fail at single parenting.
That's the fact. Again, let me repeat myself. You are comparing oranges with apple. Okay? Oranges is a single woman. The apples is a polygamous relationship in which you advocate that the man who is cheating, okay, cheating on the wife, bring home the other woman, introduce her to the wife, and expect that the household is supposed to be harmonious. In the Mormon religion, which you're using as your foundation, does not have that, in my opinion.
Put her in the house right next to yours. Bam, problem solved. There you go. See, there you go. I just worked out the problem for you. I just solved it, just like that.
Geez. Okay, you solved it.
Hey, guys.
So,
guys,
getting back to the topic.
You guys have gotten way off topic now. So, what's the
topic? I said I'm getting back to the topic.
Would society be more prosperous if only married women had the right to vote? A lot of people are saying no, all women are going to make the same poor decisions. The question is, do married women have more of a concern about what happens to their family if they want to stay married or they don't want their husband to bring home the woman he's cheating with? So will those women vote in ways that are more supportive to their family, or will they do with the single women vote for free stuff? They vote that the bar is lowered in the military so that they can make the military. They vote so that the fire department lowers standards so that women can be qualified, even though they're not. Same with police force, and same happens in corporate America in getting an education. So women vote to have the bar lowered. They vote for free stuff so that they can say, I don't need a man. In the meanwhile, it's men, the taxpayer, who's paying for all that stuff.
And the men approving of that stuff. You know, it's the men signing off the laws and regulations and all that. But so in a way, us men are the blame as well. But I think a lot of men are afraid of the backlash that's going to come with this. But it comes to that point to where, listen, you got to chew that food when you have to and be able to justify why you're going against it. It can easily be defended. It's just that a lot of guys don't want to deal with the backlash and have their careers ruined. You know what I'm saying? So they want to be they want to jump on the social justice warrior train. You know what? I'm about to retire in 5 to 10 years. I'm gonna keep my reputation intact. You know what I'm saying? But men have to be able to step up and be like, no, I'm not gonna allow this. We have this program and still that's successful for all this time. Why should we lower our standards for you? And like the analogy I brought up before, you got some colleges that excel in certain sports programs because what they're doing works. Why should they lower it because certain people have the audacity to complain that they didn't make it? I mean, you either make it or you don't.
Right.
So, yeah, male politicians. There you go. Like I said,
male politicians are getting they're very corrupt.
Government spending is military. He didn't show how letting women vote actually costs us more money. It almost like quadruples since. I don't know if you missed that portion.
Yeah, I did miss it, but I don't doubt it. The fact is women, just like men, are going to vote for their own self-interest, and yes, they're going to lower the bar. And as a matter of fact, they're not going to lower the bar for some things. Just like in the military, they don't want to really lower the bar because that would mean they would have to serve in the military. So they want the bar high so that they can be rejected. There was, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, what was it? The Army had to reject something like 90% of a female battalion because they couldn't meet the physical requirements. In my opinion, those women were probably very glad that they were rejected so that they didn't have to fight.
Have you ever been in the military, Joe? You ever served in the military?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Women, I don't know when you served, but I got out in 07. Women, it doesn't matter how horrible they do or whatever, they don't like being rejected for anything in the military. As a matter of fact, even when they fail tests,
let me ask you
they don't. Oh, shit.
That's what I said. I said they want to be rejected because they don't want to serve up front. They don't want to serve in the battlefield. They want
to
serve
they're
in
fighting,
the behind.
They're fighting to go up front. They're actually to go up front on the battlefield. They are.
That's political theater. That's political theater.
It's not. No, they actually are. I'm telling you, I got out of the hotel, I'm telling you what they were doing. They're fighting to join the SEAL. They're fighting to join special forces. But it's been shown, it's been proven that the U.S. had to switch to a smaller caliber round from a 308, or 7.62, I should say, down to the 223, the 5.56, which is far less effective.
I remember you saying that.
Simply because
yeah,
the women could not handle the kick of the gun from the recoil of that larger round.
Yeah.
But they're still fighting to get on the battlefield.
That's political theater. They're doing that in order to make themselves look good. They don't want to serve.
They're not going to take those positions because it's not their nature.
Hold up, Red Pill. Hold up. Joe, finish what you were saying, and then Red Pill, you go.
Okay. They don't want this political theater. They can fight for it because they want to have this image, I'm your equal. If they didn't fight for it, they would then have a black mark against that particular movement. So they're saying, yes, put us up front. Let us show you how equal we are. But what happens when they get to be on the police force? Are they the first ones to knock down the door? Fuck no. Are they what happens if they're on the fire department? Are they carrying down 145-pound guy from a fire? Hell no. They're doing it for political theater. They don't want to serve up front. A few women will, by accident, by serendipity, by fate, be up there in the front line. I commend them if they really serve like a true warrior. But getting back to your particular topic, should married women, single women, they're going to vote for their own self-interest. There's no difference, okay? I wish there was a test in order to find out if all of us could be qualified to vote, but that would actually lead to a real mess. What kind of test, who would administer it, whose self-interest would the test actually be, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm finished. So, Red, you can go.
Yeah, like I was saying, because I'm also prior service, and basically what you said, it's just a political show, because even though women cannot take up combat arms, for example, if you want to be a tanker, an artillery crew member, combat engineer, infantry, women can do that now. But how many of them are actually signing up to do just that? Not too many. So it's like, so why are we forcing, you know, why are we forcing ourselves to lower the standards if women don't want to do it anyway? So all this ruckus for what? You know, just to try to flex your political power that you can make something happen and then not even exercise it? And then, like you said, about, now back to the topic about the whole married thing, I think if a woman was married, I don't think she would care too much about politics as much. Because the way she sees it, the man's already holding down the household, let him worry about that stuff. That, in my opinion, that's what I think. I don't think she would care too much about politics from that point. I mean, if she has all the needs met, does she have a roof over her head? Is there food in the fridge? You know, I think that's all a married woman's going to care about. I don't think she'll get too involved with the politics. I think women that get involved with the politics because, again, they're the single ones, so they want to try to set up like a social-type program where, hey, we need funding to try to help us out with this. So it's all about them, but it's crucial to put us up in the process.
If you go back,
I think
prior to them having the right to vote, they didn't care about politics. They knew that their husbands would vote in their interests.
Yeah.
I think a married woman votes.
I disagree with something you said, Joe. You said that women are just like men. They're going to vote for their own interests. No, when men vote for the greater good of society. We vote for, because we understand what's good for you is good for, what's good for me is good for us all.
To a much larger degree than women will. Yeah. But the thing is that I don't think married women give a rat's ass about their husbands when it comes to war or their sons. Otherwise, they would try to prevent their husband from going off to war and their sons. But they follow the same principle as what's been followed for centuries. Have you guys ever heard of the bromide, go out on your shield or get carried back home, get carried on it? That's from that's from Greece. The mothers were doing that. The wives were saying to the husband, fight the wars, even if you don't want to, because you'll be a coward if you don't. And when you do go and fight,
how's it going, man?
You better be a warrior or you'll be carried back on your ship.
Yeah, they're solipsistic. They don't care. And when you go out and you lose the war and you die in battle, they're just going to fuck whoever killed you anyway. They don't care.
That is true. War brides. That's a real thing. That is true. A lot of people
want to hear about
that. Back in the days, I think even now, where if a certain nation or empire took over a certain town, city, whatever, the women, their husbands probably died defending that town, but then the women would go ahead and marry whoever defeated them, you know, one of the soldiers from there. And it happened during World War II as well. A lot of the Germans were knocking up the French women. A lot of the women, French women, married the Germans. You know, meanwhile, their husbands are fighting to defend France, and they're over here banging the German soldiers who are occupying them. So that's a real thing, though. A lot of people forget about this part of history.
Yeah.
Look, let me tell you something. You could die.
You could bang the winners, literally.
You could die in battle.
I don't know if they were marrying them, but they were fucking them for chocolate and nylon.
They would marry them too. They would marry them too.
You could die in battle, and the man who killed you could have "I killed" and your name tattooed on his dick, and your widow would still suck his dick when the war was over. And his side won. She would suck that tattoo right off his dick.
Well, you know, that's not
uncommon. I can tell you. Yeah.
Think about when a lion takes over a new pride. The first thing he does is have sex with the alpha female. And she rightfully assumes that position, no resistance. And that's after he kills off all of her cubs. So he chases, kills her mate, kills the cubs. And then all the females want to mate, and he will only mate with that alpha. We're bringing in another person, the Fix from New York. Cash, what's going on? We're talking about, would society be more prosperous if only married women had the right to vote? We're talking about voting.
Hey, Red Pill, where did it set you up? He should have sent you his email. Check your request box, because he probably never messaged you before.
You said text or email he sent you, right?
No, DM me on Instagram.
Okay.
I told, that's probably what tickets are. Yeah. I told him to hit you. Oh, there he is right there. He just commented just now. But yeah, that's probably the confusion. But yeah.
I can tell you a real
lion. That's some cruel ass shit. Imagine having the whole pride for years, you know, a rival comes over, you know, defeats you, probably kills you or chases you off. Then goes kill your cubs, and the woman you're mating with for years, the female, just gives herself up just like that. Like, damn, that's dirty. But that's the same concept with war brides.
Yeah, that
so
happens.
At the beginning of time, this shit ain't nothing new.
One thing about a real-life war story, I remember during the Vietnam War, was then there was a guy who served, I don't know if he served in the Air Force or the Army, the Marines, et cetera, but he was coming home from serving over there, what I call in country. So he's home, they're at the airport, and before they even get to, from the plane to the mezzanine, the wife comes out to meet him, and the wife says to him, "I want a divorce." Can you imagine the emotional wreckage that caused? Jesus, that still sticks with me.
I've seen worse than that. When I was in, I've seen guys get, emails, guys get videos sent to them. I mean, it's horrible. If she does it that way, if she at least waits, she can get it back. Then I'm not gonna say you're lucky, but I'm just gonna say it's a softer blow than some of the shit I've seen.
I don't think so. I don't think how a guy can stay can get his, well, even if he comes back intact, he sees his wife and kids up there in the mezzanine. He's looking forward to seeing them, even if let's say they exchange mail saying that they had a rough relationship. And the first thing that she says is, hello, I want a divorce. I would rather have a dead John. I knew friends who had dead Johns when I was in the service. That, to me, is less cruel than getting it done in person.
A lot of these women, son, when they still getting that providing while you're not there, they're going to see fun somewhere else. And that's a lot of guys, you know, they go on thinking, oh, not my woman, she ain't like that. You really think so? Right? Because I've been stationed at Fort Bragg since 2010 until I got out 2015. And, of course, with one brigade of the 82nd Airborne is gone, you know, some others are still back. Who do you think is turning them wives and girlfriends out when you're gone, bro? All right? And then the same thing. There's a Marine base about 2 hours from where I'm at. There were Marine wives coming up here because it was safer for them to cheat up here than it would be to go around where they're at, you know, and do the dirt because who would know them up here? And one of them, like, I didn't even know she was married at the time. They both. Like, one of them actually sent me a friend request on Facebook the day after with her husband in a profile picking his dress blue. I'm like, wait, what the hell? Like, they both, a lot of them really don't even give a shit. And, like, you know what? She's lucky I'm not one of those that will cause drama because I don't know what state of mind that guy would be in. But I was like, she really got some nerve. This woman was married the whole damn time. Like, she drove the 2 hours just to make that shit happen. So
yeah, but see, that's what they bank on. They bank on it not being, it not coming out. They bank on themselves never looking bad. And no one ever exposing the dirt they do. That's how they get away with it. How's the old saying? The only thing good needed for evil to thrive is for the good to be silent. So if no one ever exposes them, all the dirt and the evil shit they do, they're allowed to keep doing it.
Not necessarily. You can expose them, but the guy will believe any story because he's so invested to the woman. You blow it off as, oh, that's not true. My woman would never do that. Or he'll forgive her. What the fuck was that? Oh, that was you. Oh, man, what the? But you could show proof that, hey, you know, your woman was hitting me up. And she was trying to play it off like, oh, I was just playing with him, you know. Oh, you know, I was just bored. And, you know,
she
belongs to
the streets.
What?
She belongs to the streets.
Cash to his sound effect.
So I tell you, a lot of times you can tell the men, but they don't want to buy it. They don't want to believe that their woman is capable of such a thing. So it's just what it is.
Hey, well, let me bring in another caller. Area code 310. 310, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you call from?
What's up, gentlemen? It's West Coast. How's everybody?
What's up, Rich?
What's up, Chris? I hear you over there, bro. Glad to hear you back, bro. You're in rare form.
What's going on, man?
You and I think that gentleman was, I think he's from Montana somewhere. Is that the guy?
Joe.
Yeah, Montana, right?
Yeah. Well, how you doing?
I've been enjoying this sitting here listening to you. You know, you learn a lot more listening than when you're yapping. So, all
right.
But that was kind of interesting what you were saying, Joe, about wives and mothers don't mind seeing their husbands and their sons go off to war. I thought that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that was back in the what century was that? That was during the wars between the Greeks, between Sparta and Athens. What, the year 300, 400 BC or AD, something like that. AD, I think.
Yeah.
And this kind of attitude centuries.
Okay. So are you saying that type of attitude still goes on till today?
Hell yeah!
And look, what
does a woman want?
Even in the streets, a woman will let you go off and fight for her. Honor my you didn't honor my what's the word? You let someone disrespect
her.
Or defend my honor. Right. A woman will let you die for
and you know what, Ted? Hey, Ted, you know the funny thing is, right, I used to see a girl years ago, right, and we were in this club or this restaurant, and I saw the guy, too. And so, so she tried to, because she was going through some shit, so she wanted to tell me, he felt on my ass, right? So he heard when she said, so he looked at me, and I looked at him, and we both smiled, right? And I looked at this bitch, right? Cause she just wanted to, I don't know what she was, she just wanted to stir up some shit. So he looked at me, I looked at her, and I looked at him. Now, I'm thinking, like, hold up. So just because you want to shit test me or whatever the fuck you're going through, you want me and this other brother to get in a fight. Now, one of us might get hurt, get killed. One might get a felony. You live with your mother. I own property, got a son, so I got everything to lose, but you don't. But you're trying to store up some shit. That means you don't give a shit about me. You're a selfish-ass bitch. I mean, that's really what you, you know, because they're not thinking, like I said, they're not thinking that far. They're just thinking about themselves. So, it just, you know, so when you say something like that, that's very true. But, again, so this woman that birthed this boy, she doesn't mind him seeing him going off to war to potentially lose his life, right?
Well, precisely. How many women do you know or heard of that actually said to their son during the World War II, during Korean conflict, Vietnam, going to Grenada, et cetera? How many of them said, son, this war is unjust, don't go, or this war may be just, but I wish you wouldn't sign up anyway.
Well,
how many mothers do you know?
I know one. Don't you remember that woman whose son got killed in the war, and that's when George W. Bush made up that false war or whatever it was. And her son got killed, and she was in it, and she was at the White House gate, and security was trying to keep her back and shit. You remember? I don't know if you remember that. So I remember that's my mother.
I don't remember that. No, that was after the son got killed. A lot of wives and mothers will cry over their sons, nephews, et cetera, once they're killed. Then they realize, oh, my God, it's actually a reality. He no longer will be alive. But prior to that, it's go on.
So...
Make me proud of you.
Well, okay, so I don't want to be a dead horse. So I'm going to ask you something. If a man goes off to war and if he gets killed, he's more valuable to her dead than alive. How you think she's going to feel?
He's made more impact on her dead. Because she now misses him, at least maybe for a while, than being alive. Again, I'm asking you the question. How many women have tried to actively prevent their sons from going off to war?
I don't really know. I don't know.
Yeah, someone said that woman's name, the mother's name is Cindy Sheehan.
Right. Oh, so you remember?
Oh, that's the one that started the pink movement.
Okay. The what? That's one
the
who
pink
what? Okay. Well,
pink,
what?
The pink hat. The ones who wanted to prevent mothers from from suffering their children, their husbands, or the children from dying.
Well. So I don't want to get off topic either. But me personally, I think that the 19th Amendment needs to be totally revoked. So revoked. It needs to be peeled and throw out all of that shit.
Y'all got any updates on that? Input on this, man? Me, I said a lot. I don't know. It says channel.
Go ahead, Cash. So, yeah, the topic is, would society be more prosperous if only married women had the right to vote? Someone just said repeal it, like doing a recall on a Toyota, right? Recall it, bring it back.
Well, so I always got to put it out there, I'm a libertarian and shit, so we advocate for everybody's rights, regardless of gender, sexual orientation, whatever. But with that said, libertarians are anti-big government, Unfortunately, what we have seen with women, as we have granted them what should be their God-given inalienable rights, they have not been responsible with it. They have voted in a socialist, tyrannical direction. When you look at history, ever since the drafting of the 19th Amendment and establishing it, we have had more gun control, more surveillance, way more taxes, destruction of, you know, the nuclear family. And I am not pro-marriage one bit unless it's polygyny. What the fuck? Oh, okay, okay, the charts work.
Yeah,
like,
that's a very good chart about that stuff. But, yeah.
Yeah. So once, as you have to see right there, I'm guessing during that time period, once these chicks, you know, they were able to vote, which, again, this is just me speaking as a libertarian here. I'm not speaking for all of us here. This is me. I support that, but we're not going to take away accountability from them. It's been way more gun control, infringements, Big Brother surveillance state, all these vaccines coming out. Because any little thing, like these women right away, any little cause of panic on you know, on the news or whatever, and instantly, they shit their pants. You know, and it's just like, yo, like, what the hell be wrong with these chicks? Look, right now, who is more likely to tell you, put on a mask, a guy or a girl?
Well, I don't listen to either.
The only I've seen both, man.
Well, more. Me, it's been women and them, you know? So, like,
oh, nobody's
when
ever.
We look at that, like, from the beginning to the end, and we notice this pattern here is like, wait, hold on. Maybe we do need to conduct a heavy audit and review. And Coach Greg Adams brought this up, and I found the charts as well. Women... Not only do they outnumber us, like, voting-wise, because by default, women outnumber us. I always use the marijuana plant comparison. The male marijuana plant produces a lot of seeds. Female marijuana plant produces bud up until it plateaus. It hits the final point of producing bud. Same thing with men and women. Us, we could bust us. We're constantly regenerating sperm every day. You know, women can only get pregnant once safely every 2 years. Safely. You know, if they want to run the risk and get pregnant sooner, that's when you start seeing stretch marks. They fucking stomachs start looking like scrambled eggs. so when you look
yeah,
at
you
these talk, charts, ever since they have gotten their 19th Amendment, their God-given and inalienable right, you know, to vote, have their voice be heard, the amount of good women who vote constitutionally is here. The amount of bad women who vote tyranny. So, you know, just to put the stamp on it, we need an audit, review, and give them an ultimatum. Are y'all going, especially now, the deep state has been exposed. We already seen it from the Anthony Weiner laptop, Hunter Biden's laptop, Jeffrey Epstein in the Pedo Island, the girl from Smallville that played Chloe. What was her name? You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, the actress. Film. I know you're talking about, yes.
The sex called Nexium and shit, you know? You know, also, another study was done when the internet first came out on, like, pornography searches. Men looked up four or five simple things. Big tits, fat ass, pretty face, ethnicities, and what was the other one? Threesomes, like, you know, one guy, many girls, which should be polygamy. When it came to women, women were looking up, like, dungeon sex and rape and being, like, completely dominated, like, overwhelmingly. That's what they were looking up. Don't you know? So when we see all these things put together, it's just like, are y'all responsible enough to vote for the betterment of this nation? It'd be women all the time advocating for all these subsidy programs, not only for the women in the United States, but and us as Hispanics and blacks, we can say this, you know, even though, you know, whatever, like, it's our planet, but let's be realistic. We have nations right now, the same way you don't let just anybody bust in your crib. We can't just let anybody come into our nation like that. Women overwhelmingly vote for subsidy public assistance programs that come at our tax dollars because men are the laborers of the United States. They vote for our checks to be taxed like a motherfucker to give these people coming here freebies. So it's just like, nah, be like, enough is enough, for real. We really got to review if these chicks are going to be responsible if they vote or not. Because honestly, if they're not, then... It's got to go.
Yep. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. When you're talking to someone with the mind of a child, they don't understand. They'll never comprehend that. So trying to explain it to them is pointless. They're just going to say, you hate us. You have something against us. You don't want us to do this because you hate us. Or blah. They're just going to come with all these just idiotic, you know, deflection tactics or deflections. And so you'll never be able to get it through their head. The reason why that you don't want this to happen is simply because it's going to be bad for the country. It's going to cost you more than it's worth. Like all the illegals that were at the border that Trump sent home, right? These were illegals who came up from El Salvador and
Guatemala and
places like that. Guatemala. They passed a shitload of countries to come to the U.S. border to claim political asylum. They didn't go one country over. They came through a couple countries, all the way through Mexico. We need a political asylum here in the U.S. What about the five countries you just fucking walked through?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't think to stop at any of them? But now, you know, and you got that idiot, what, I can't even say her name, Ocasio-Cortez, however the fuck you say her name.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
that's right.
That idiot wants, and if it had, if it's not for, you know, yeah, she got the women vote, but yeah, I can't tell you how many times I see, and it's mainly Hispanic guys in New York, oh, man, yeah, she's fine, man. Who the fuck
what?
Cares if she, first of all, she's not
she
that fine.
She ain't even fine.
And who the fuck cares?
These fucking
simps
that be all up in the...
Man,
who the
man.
Fuck cares if you think she is fine? But it's not just them. Even in Oklahoma, there was a governor, Mary Fallon. This woman ran the state into the ground. I mean, completely into the red. To the point where, you know, they said that they would never tax the lottery. They ended up having to tax the lottery. They would never tax the alcohol. They ended up taxing the alcohol. They just kept having to do more and more just to come from her fuck up. To the point where they eventually had to legalize cannabis just to generate more tax revenue to get themselves out of the red. And that's what happens. The same thing happens with them when you put in our charging companies. When you put women in CEO, your company's going to take a loss.
All right.
I mean, respectfully, marijuana be criminalized in George Washington had four marijuana farms. He even said in order for this nation to thrive and prosper, it should embrace, it should embrace, cultivate, harvest, and sow the hemp plant, which was the original name for marijuana. The word marijuana comes from Mexico. It was used as a scare tactic against Mexicans and all that. But,
no, was it? No, no,
now, like, that's the fallback. So I get that point. I just wanted to have that clarity because I know there's some libertarians watching here now since I sent out the link. So I know they'll be like, yo, Cash.
No.
Yo, Creed.
Hold on. The whole reason cannabis was called marijuana.
The whole reason cannabis was made illegal.
Thanks for the advancement of technology. I try not to post it too much. And, you know, the good women that I interview on my channel, they agree as well. These bad women need to start being held accountable. But, yo, it's unlimited videos of women, you know, fuck men, I hate men. We only use men for this or for that.
Well,
you know, I work with a lot of women.
Everything that we talking, it's just that they don't become publicly because what happens, it's kind of like you get hung if you speak out on the things that they're doing. So a lot of them don't know how to come out because feminist females, you know, it's been one mindset for so long to think one way and not think out the box. So a lot of them be scared. That's why a lot of them hide their face to agree or they phone programs that they point us literally on the low because they don't want their name to be out because they scared they're going to get attacked because a lot of females are not down for hearing the truth. That's just the way
that's
it is.
Why
that's the difference between a man and a woman.
I make them, you know, comfortable and all that. And then little by little, I serve it to them like that they could help defend men without looking crazy. And I let them know, too, like, you're really scared other girls is going to come after you. Any one of us right here could easily wash 10 to 20 women. Like, get the hell out. If we really got to that, I'm not advocating for beating women's asses or anything, I'm just saying if the good women felt that there was such a danger, we could easily protect them. You feel me?
Right.
So we got, you know, we're trying to build up their courage, but I let all of them know all the time, this particular battle right here is a battle that men cannot front. We have front line 99.9% of all
I don't think anybody can hear.
Because us men, look how we hold fellow men accountable. If you're a rapist or whatever, dog, we jump you. We beat the shit out of you. Women got to start doing the same thing.
And you see, that comes back to what we spoke of a little before you guys came, where women say they don't need men until shit gets rough. Like, when they need you to defend their honor. Now, all of a sudden, hey, you know what I'm saying? And I made a video about that, about not defending a woman's honor, like stop white knighting, because I share a story where, long story short, but this guy was actually beating the shit out of his girlfriend in, around downtown Manhattan. And these guys who saw what was going on jumped in to defend her, and she was jumping the other dudes helping her boyfriend. So that's one. And then I've seen other videos where the guy actually defended a woman who was getting attacked by some dude, and the woman took off running, but the guy died. And the woman who did or nothing, I was in Queens. So it's like, so a woman doesn't value men at all until shit gets rough. But once your purpose is over, it's like, okay, back to, you know, men being the enemy now. Back to men being, you know, the reason why we're oppressed. You know what I'm saying? This is why it's like, you know what? Let women learn the hard way that they need men way more than they think. And it's like the whole thing where the false claim, especially when it's put on black men, I've noticed that women talk about how black women aren't defended enough. When a black man gets a claim against them, they automatically take the woman's side against them. So you want the man's protection, but you don't want to go by, you know, so why should he protect you if this is your initial impression of him from the beginning? So...
I'll just say this real quick.
Hold up, everyone. Chris, I know you were trying to say something for a bit. What were you saying?
Well, I was going to say to the caller who was saying that, you know, he had women agree with him, and but they were scared of other women. Let me tell you what it is. As humans, we are a sexual dimorphic species. Men are bigger and stronger, faster and smarter than women. Women are smaller, weaker, dumber of the species. As a result, women are chameleons. They will say and do whatever they think they need to do to protect themselves. So those women telling you that, oh, yeah, we're against them, blah, 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 I guarantee you when they get in the voting booth, they're not. I guarantee you when they get in the voting booth, they're going to vote the same way those fucking feminists are. The only time that shit didn't happen that way, the only time it didn't happen that way.
Libertarian, you know, libertarian women are against, like, child support, against bias.
Bullshit. I'm libertarian. And I'm here to tell you, libertarian women are just as fucking feminist. Libertarian women say that shit.
Like, it's all about transparency. Those are the only women I could speak for, you know, but
you can't speak for any of them because they're still fucking women. Unicorns don't exist. I don't care how much you try to say they do. Unicorns do not fucking exist. Unicorns, leprechauns, they don't exist.
Yeah, Chris.
Unicorns don't exist. They're still fucking women. And women are chameleons. They're going to do and say whatever they need to protect themselves. It's a defense mechanism that's been embedded in their genetic coding since the dawn of time.
Hey, so he ain't pulling no punches. Thank God he's...
Yo, Chris.
Hey, hold up, Chris.
We got a question here. Again, who thinks married women's votes will make society better?
He already said that I don't think married women will really care too much about politics because the man's already taking care of everything. That's my view in a nutshell. How about you, Cash, or Red Pill Awareness?
With me, I'm going to have to kind of side with you there because the majority of women that I talk to who are not involved in the Libertarian Party, one, they don't pay attention, like, full-blown to politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just wait for, like, whatever the news gives them, and they just rock off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they even say it, that they're like, they regret what women from the past have done because now they got to work and shit like that. And it's like, you feel yourselves, y'all really want it easy. So it's just like, I'll agree there. You know, if y'all not trying to help contribute, then you know, just shut the fuck up. Plain and simple, shut the fuck up. Go please the man that you want. Go holler at the man that you want. And that's it.
Yo, Chris.
I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna get out of y'all's way.
Back to what you were talking about, Chris, from the political standpoint, with all those different folks coming in from them borders. I'm gonna tell you something, Chris. The economist experts were talking about. They just gave a job the status review, Chris. They talking about we over almost $30 trillion in debt right now. And women being the most of the, what you call them?
No Asian, the Asian declined appointment for Kennesaw with no explanation. So me at two.
It's my thing, Chris. I don't know what's going to happen with all these leftover women when them Chinese come over here and invade us. Because I don't want no leftover ones.
5% plus.
Hold on, Let him finish what he's saying.
Oh, my bad. I thought he was...
Okay, thanks, Reg. That went well. I will check out the trouble.
Reg.
Yeah.
You got to chill, Reg. Go on mute,
Oh,
Reg.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was reading something. My fault.
Go on mute.
But, like I was telling Chris, when we owe China, man, a hefty sum, and when they get ready to invade this country, I'm not dealing with them leftover women, so we need to be trying to figure out what's going to happen with these leftover women. Because us brothers trying to start our businesses and things, we're not going to deal with them leftover women, Chris. We're just not going to do it.
Well, it's not that. It's just with the more women come in the country, the more they're going to outnumber the male voters. The more they're going to – you see the stupid law where – what was it in – I can't remember where it was now. But there was a lawmaker. She was trying to pass a – it might have even been in there in New York where she was trying to put a curfew on just men.
Yeah,
I
heard
it. It was in the U.K. Exactly. Because it was actually cops along with a female accomplice that they jumped some girl. I think they even killed her. That was in the U.K.,
right. And then here in the U.S., you had them try to make it mandatory for men to get vasectomies.
Right.
Yeah, there was somebody pushing for that.
So when you allow more women in,
it was Elizabeth Warren.
When you allow more women in, and they get voting power, and then they start to get into politics, and now they have political power, they're just going to impose a whole bunch of unfair shit on men. I mean, if y'all really want to start the next civil war and it to be bloody, just keep supporting women. Right now, you know, we say repeal the 19th, but let's be realistic. We'll never be able to repeal the 19th because women outnumber men when it comes to voting. So we'll never be able to repeal the 19th, but we can still stop women from voting. You want to know how? You stand outside a voting booth and you tell her, you go in that voting booth, you take one more step and I'm going to beat your ass. I guarantee you they'll all stop. And if any simp wants to say, because I know some of you New York motherfuckers are simps, if any of y'all want to say, oh, that's a female, you can't hit a female, okay, here comes a 223 your way.
Yeah, nah, you know, trust me, Tad also, y'all both know.
I want to
New York and all that. Unfortunately, yeah, it's heavy simping. Because the thing is, out here, the average girl is like 7
you're
and stupid. Look, it's the average one.
She's
kind of ugly. Like, on average, so motherfuckers out here, their mind is focused on two things. Get money, get pussy. So
right.
They go out of their way to get pussy. You know?
Right.
Well, that's fine. It'll just be a lot of simp bodies.
Chris, because I'm with you on this.
I don't get offended. I know I'm not a simp. You feel me? But you know,
I'm with Chris on this.
I had a simp from your area attack me, so I get it.
I almost fought a simp 2 weeks back.
Oh man, he's always coming at me. He's not. I don't know where he's from, New York. He's from, but he don't have a life. But I mean, you know, in the DMV area, we have, we probably have equal, so we have alpha and sigma males, then we got the simps. The simps don't have authority here. That's the thing. They don't overthrow the situation.
Yeah.
You know, in my area.
Yeah, but they got power with their money.
A lot of single mother raised boys.
Yeah. Right.
So that's the issue. And then you remember the whole, like, R&B, hip-hop, all that, like, the early days that started here.
Right.
All of that influence,
yeah.
Glorify women, pussy, will give you the winning lottery numbers.
Of course. Social engineering is powerful, man. You know, you can form and reform people a way of thinking where you have people believe a certain belief system where they're just living and thinking every day without asking no questions. Like, I had put Aaron Russo on my page, and I had people coming at me about Aaron Russo. I was like, Aaron Russo is exposed that David Rockefeller wanted to fund the feminist party movement to mess up, you know, different systems in the economy with women and men and mess up families and mess up relationships. I had people, you know, who are you? Why can you think like that? Who are you to say that? And I'm like, well, do your research. He's explaining you.
I heard that same thing.
Affecting everybody in society, but they never see it that way.
And the thing is, in big city areas like New York, Miami, Chicago, you know, pretty much big cities, that's where women flock to because that's where you get the Section 8, the welfare, the food stamps, all that. And then what they do, they work off the books. You know, they might even fuck around with guys, get that extra bread, and then when it comes time for inspection, you know, the guy just got to leave the apartment for like a day or two. You feel me?
Right.
So that's what happens,
yeah.
You know? But when you look at states where that shit don't fly like that, then it's true, you do see more like they've always told us all the time, oh, you want good women, go down south. You know, just be careful with like Miami because you've got like that mindset.
Yeah,
don't
go to Miami.
Excuse me, homie. I live in Atlanta, bro. And I can tell you about these Southern broads, okay? Maybe these Georgia Atlanta broads might be a little bit different, but I can tell you about what I've been here 14 years from South Central Los Angeles. Tell you about these black women here in the South. I can tell you. It's a trip. That whole thing that they're saying about that, that's some bullshit. That's some straight bullshit. These are some evil, mean-ass broads, man. Okay?
What is it?
And the guy,
right?
Huh? Well, no, but see, the thing about it, listen, the guys down here in the South, are kind of traditional dudes in a way, and you know, they'll take disrespect from these hoes just to keep their families together. You know, they got that, like you said, and of course, you know, they was all raised by women in the first damn place. So, I mean, you got that going on. So, that southern woman shit, man. Oh, she'll play that little southern role until she can put that bait and switch on your ass. Then you're gonna have some problems.
That's why I said they're all chameleons.
Hold on, guys. Chris, you brought up something, and we kind of jumped over. So you were saying that women act like children. So there's a case law in, I think it's Michigan, one of those states where a married couple, they had children, a wife is pregnant, has the baby. The father does a DNA, they're getting a divorce DNA test, and finds that child, that last child is not his. And he says, hey, I'm not paying child support. And the judge said, sir, you should have known better. You should have known what kind of woman you were married to. And the judge still forced him to pay child support, even though the child proved to not be his. So it's almost like the judge said to him, you as a man should have known better because your wife, you knew what kind of woman you were married to, so you have to be the decision maker because she's too much of a child to make these kinds of decisions. and now you have to pay for her childish or bad behavior. What I'm getting at is, if that's a mindset, if the law looks at a woman as not having to be responsible for her decision, how then are we allowing them to go to the voting booth?
If she can't even be responsible for her own reproductive system, if they're not even capable of being responsible with their own reproductive system, why are we giving them a tool where they can have responsibility on the outcome of the entire country? It doesn't make sense.
Chris, I got the answer. Simps in political powerful position. Bottom line.
Initially, it started off with wanting to make money off of them, because trust me, it's all about they're cash cows. That's it. You know, you manipulate a woman to think that she's intelligent, whatever. You can play her. You can get every fucking dime she's ever got. That's how pimps work. That's how pastors work, right? And so,
who are pimps?
That's all it is. That's all. Yeah. I shouldn't even say there's a difference between a pimp and a pastor, because it really ain't. The only difference is one holding the Bible, one's holding the Bible, the other ain't. But they're children. They should never be trusted with any responsibility. Never.
There's an incentive behind the scenes, and there's a research this. Look it up. My lawyer put me on back when I was doing a course. For every case that is spent,
you should put that big choice.
They tax that child support money, so that's money that they're going to take in as revenue as well. So this is how some women are. Running on emotions, they'd rather put a guy on child support than...
Man, I'm so tired, dog.
Outside of the...
Man, go on mute.
Right?
Oh.
And it could be a notarized amicable agreement outside of the judicial system. They'd rather go through the child support system, get less due to the tax. And right there, the court systems, the family court system gets incentivized because they look like they're doing their job. The same shit with CV, that the hospitals were getting extra money. Or even with Big Pharma in general, when they push all these prescriptions on patients and all that, they get a cut of that.
I can believe it.
Yes. Yes.
We need to get the lead attorney on the show with all of us. He's big on YouTube right now, explaining the child support system and the corruption of the courts.
You gotta remember.
Why are we giving them so much accountability, so many responsibilities, if we can't hold them accountable to things? That makes no sense to me. Like, why put them for these political positions, positions of authority, if they're going to be responsible for nothing? Basically, you're just holding the title and the paycheck, but when shit gets fucked up, oh, it's not her. That's on you. But she was the one. It was her choice. What the fuck? And Brett Pitt Webb brought up something about how, what do you think that Ronald Trump, the fourth bill, talking about how women control 90% of wealth? You see, I always thought it was about 80%, but you know what? That probably makes more sense, because the 80% number didn't take into account the amount of women who were just using their husband's card to buy stuff. Now, the husband, the boyfriend knew she was using it, but he allowed it. So that's what it's taken into account. Like, guys literally giving their woman the card number. All right, get what you want to get for vacation. The guy pretty much said, hey, book what you want to book and we'll go. So I think that's where the 90% comes from, which would make sense.
Yep. George Washington and a few of the Sons of Liberty, they married women. But back then, in that time period, the man would obtain all of the valuable resources from the woman. George Washington married a widow woman. I think she had 3 or 4 kids, because through her, he inherited, I think it was 2 more farms. And a bunch of other things. I think it's called dowry. I'm not sure right then. I feel like...
Yeah, it's a dowry.
I think that's the correct term. If I'm incorrect, brothers educate me and shit. But basically, the concept of it was they had to convince the men somehow to take the woman off of the father's shoulders. Because if not, he was going to have to feed her forever. And he wouldn't be able to enjoy as much time with his wife or wives, because even back then, polygyny was still around, one of the happiest time periods for women. Oh, somebody said, you got it, Cash. Oh, okay, so I think that was a dowry, yeah. But look how, when we went polar opposite of it, we got the shit show that we're living in today, B. So it's fucking wild. And these guys, they were on record to have many meetings and conversations talking about the right women to legally, like, unite with in order to inherit more resources to then make a better push for the United States vision that they had.
Guys, so here's a question. This is more socially. And hey, Big L, thanks for joining. And I usually wear the shades on Friday. So the question, the question, and I'm going to let a woman talk about this. I'm going to share my screen in 2 seconds. The question is, are women happier with all these rights, voting, jobs, and all that stuff? Are women happier? So let's see what a woman would say about that.
You know, one of the things, one of the most interesting things about is the research that you're doing.
To be safe, I need every 26 seconds pause because you see how I ran 15 on
I got you.
To be 15, just pause it.
All right, I got you, Cass.
Because I still got flagged for copyright.
Okay.
Nah, but remember when that happened, it was a song that they sent me a rant for almost a minute that I was here like, oh, shit.
All
right. Claim fair use because you are using this for criticism purposes.
Right. This is fair use practice. Right. I'm only doing this for educational and to help illustrate a point to criticize the topic that we're talking about. So,
and fair use.
So hold on, guys. She's got noise in the background.
Paradox of the decline of female happiness. And they started doing surveys on the sense of well-being and consistently women scored higher than men.
So she's talking about this survey they used to do about well-being, and women always scored much higher on this scale of well-being and happiness. And she's going to, there's an irony, it's kind of funny to hear this coming from a woman.
Across the board, right, in the U.S., it's consistently higher than the right. And then male happiness started to taper off. Female happiness, it just went in the bucket. It crossed, they were always more happy than men, and then it crossed that line, and now they are less happy than men.
She said for decades, female happiness across the board was always much happier than, women were always much happier than men. And then in the 70s, so women really got what they were asking for. You know, they say, watch what you ask for. You just might get it, right?
Everybody's happy overall. But women are now less happy than the first time we started asking the question. And what happens? A bunch of women is how unhappy.
So, she nailed it. Talk about propaganda. So why did women stop being happy? Because a bunch of feminists came along and told women why they're not happy. And they were. They ate it. They ate it.
And I honestly think that women's biggest problem in the 60s and 70s was oppression.
She said the biggest problem for women wasn't that it was they were being oppressed, but they were bored. And listen to, it's kind of funny when she lays this out. And I'm glad, I'm so glad that a woman is saying this. So
with the short hair and the dropped eyes, you know, that is like, if ever a feminist, like a fit the description woman, she's it.
Exactly. And Chris, like I think you were saying, Chris, if you speak up to women, they say you just hate women if you say anything. So it's perfect that a woman is saying this.
Correct.
She's saying women, they were not being oppressed. They were bored, and they didn't have feel like they had any purpose.
Prior to that, keeping the house and looking after your family, taking 14 hours a day, that's 14 hours a day of heavy work. Not, you know, like just heavy work. And your husband wasn't very healthy because he was working 60 hours a week, you know, paving roads to make a working in a factory. And that's if you were lucky. If you were unlucky, you know, your husband was working paving roads, you were working in a factory, and your children are in your mother's care for that 8 hours a day that you both.
So interesting how she's laying it out. She's still laying out a case. She hasn't said it all yet, but just imagine, you know, women, like she's saying, had to work hard 14 hours a day, so they were busy, they were occupied. And you guys have probably heard me talk about, I lived in Belize with Mayan Indians in the jungle, no electricity or running water, and the women were, I saw old school washing clothes in a river. The women were up cooking, no stove. They had to start a fire and burn firewood to cook stuff. So anyway.
And so the unlucky ones were the ones who had no choice but to work. The bored housewife of had no experience. Had no experience and had no choice. Right? Because women have always had the choice to find an interest to invest, like, I never went to university. I found something in my passion. I have always worked a full-time job, but I have always found things that I enjoy doing, often very gender subversive things, like and, you know, rewiring my life pictures. You know, I've
Hey, Red Pill, I heard you. I heard you, man. Thanks.
Yeah. Real quick, before I lose this thought, and look how much perfect sense it makes. You ever gone with, like, a girl to, like, a hair salon?
Hey, you're breaking up. Heard that. Cash, you're breaking up a lot for some reason now. I don't know why.
How about now?
Yeah, maybe it's because I'm doing a screen share. I don't know. If you have any other YouTube windows open, that might be it. No? Yeah, you're breaking up. Like, nothing you do changes it.
One second.
I think it might have stopped now.
No,
you're still breaking up. Hey, hold on. The big exclusive, you're saying the audio is weird? She's got a lot of background noise in here, so it's a little hard to hear what she's saying. But she's essentially saying that, you know, some women had it really rough. They had to have a job, even though they had a husband. He worked in a factory, and a woman had to have a job, so she still had to come home and do housework. But then, you know, you had these women in the 60s and 70s, who had a choice. Women have always, she said, women have always had a choice. And they didn't have to work. So they were bored. And wait till you hear why she says women were bored.
Always been able to pursue interests, whatever interests. And women in the 60s, they were always able to pursue that. They weren't necessarily able to have a career that paid them to do that. But if having a career, if the problem with no name was that you were not fulfilled, right? Then what is money?
So she's making a point now that women were just unfulfilled. It wasn't that they needed money. They had too much time in their hands.
They were bored because men made their lives easy. They began to hate men for it.
Hold on, Chris. She's actually going to tell you. She's going to actually address what you just said. So, I love the way she's going to lay this out. Cash, real quick, what were you going to say?
My audio is good.
Yeah, it's better, but make it short. What are you going to say?
Oh no, I was going to say real quick, and she opened the door up right there. When women had that free time, being that women age out faster than men, work on your beauty and preserving that youth within those hours. Make green drinks, do cosmetic facials, things of that nature. Be productive within that time period and preserve your youth, because biologically, they start dropping first. Thank God. You know, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, they earned that. That's between them and the almighty above.
All right, all right. Hold on. That's correct. Yeah, do something to keep yourself up.
Yeah, there's plenty of ways that you just volunteer. Go deep. Except, you know, uninstall your old toilet and put a new one. Right? If you really want to challenge the stereotypes, right? Learn how to install a toilet and then install it. It's, you don't have to be a plumber to do that. You just do it. Right? Women have always been able to do that. They wanted something more. It was something more than that. They wanted recognition and respect and kudos and applause and flattery and all kinds of other things too.
So, and look, here we are. In the 21st century, and women are still begging. Look, so listen to what she's saying. 60s and 70s, they want applause and kudos and acknowledgement for stuff that, you know, some of them they're not even doing. And social media didn't make that happen. It's been there for a long time. All it did was make it more obvious.
Right.
So, I mean, just this woman is talking about 60s and
70s. The advancement of technology has helped us a lot.
Well, it just made it more obvious. So, listen to where she's going to take it.
Right. And part of the reason why they had that hole in them was because men made their lives so easy.
Hear that? She said they had the hole because men, what you were getting, you were saying directly, Chris, men made their lives easy. But she goes on.
And even them dishwashers, dinner, and vacuum cleaners, and the brush that was hanging on a clothesline, and give them that rod, right? They've given them all of these things, washing machines, dryers, and all even to do your laundry in a cauldron in the yard and bring it up with a laundry. You know, you had a washing machine that you just stuck it in there and turned it on and went away, right? And before, there was no work, right? So men had worked so hard to provide a life of ease for their wives, and their wives hate them by saying, "I'm bored, it's your fault, you're a prince."
So, this is what you were saying, Chris. Men made it so much easier, and what did the women turn around and do is say, "I'm bored and you're oppressing me," because now
I'm bored and I hate you.
Right.
I'm bored and I hate you because you made my life easy.
Right. And she doesn't have to wash clothes in a river. She just puts them in a washing machine and walks away, and she doesn't have to cook these big elaborate meals because men made TV dinners, and she can go watch soap operas, but now she's bored. Or maybe envious, delusional. She has a new fantasy, a new, what do you call it, fairy tale. Instead of Snow White, she's got the soap operas, Days of Our Lives, or whatever the As the World Turns. So she's got resentment, as you were saying, because you made my life so easy, and now I don't know what to do with myself.
He's always complaining, B.
So let's see what else she said.
I don't feel fulfilled. I don't have anything to do. And because of that, you're an asshole. So, I mean, I really find it difficult to consider the women of the system to get oppressed. Were they limited in their choices? Yes. Yeah. Men have always been limited. Men are still way more limited in their choices than women. But they were oppressed. And I don't think men are oppressed. Not unless somebody is going through prison, right? Or an unjust rape. You're not being oppressed. Oppression is shave your leg. Being pushed to shave your leg is not oppression. The fact that they make ladies' pants from pockets of the smoke or something is not oppression. It's some kind of oppression that I see a lot of them, especially not online.
Women saying they feel oppressed because their pockets are too small for a cell phone. So, who is that? Duddy, go exercise, right? So, and it's what you were saying, Cash. Why not just take care of yourself? Preserve your beauty. Make something that makes your skin feel good. And a lot of people don't. So not only was it washers and dryers and vacuum cleaners and those things, it was also the medicine industry, because before, the wife's responsibility was to keep the family healthy. So she knew all kinds of home remedies that she can get from the backyard, or she bought certain plants or things that she would put together.
Yup, you see that in the Caribbean a lot. Those are called in Spanish. Yeah, I used to have home remedies.
But that would keep the family healthy. So now that's outsourced to the pharmaceutical and the doctors. But women, that was part of a woman's responsibility. And if your husband was going to go out and work, you better keep him healthy so he doesn't drop dead prematurely. So women have walked away from a lot. They're like outsourcing everything. And then it's what I'm saying, Chris, it's your fault that I'm bored and I'm oppressed because I'm so bored and you oppressed me, asshole, in her words.
Right. There's as far as them keeping themselves up, there's only so much they can do. The reason why men, tend to look, fairly young no matter, how much we age is because of our testosterone. Our testosterone keeps us looking, fairly young. Women have a small amount of testosterone in them, and the older they get, it starts to dissipate. So the older they get, the more it dissipates. That's why the wall exists, They have a large amount, and then when they hit like around, 30, 35, it starts to dissipate, and the minute that happens, bam, they hit the wall, and you see them age like overnight. Like they get those wrinkly hands, which I can't stand to look at women. Like I just... That those wrinkly hands just creep me out. But that's when they start getting, the crow's feet and all that other stuff. But it's simply because the small trace amounts of testosterone they have in them is starting to go away, and that's why they stop looking young. Whereas men, we still have it in us, and that's why we still, you take a 60-year-old man and you put him next to a 60-year-old woman, and like that woman looks like she's 20 years older than that man does.
Hey, let me just say this. So if you look at the animal kingdom, the male lion, the peacock, just look at all the animals. All males always look more brilliant, stronger, bigger, and more attractive than the females. So this is not the workings of men. This is just how nature set it up.
Right. It's done so that just in case, that older male, he's not supposed to be in a dating game, but just in case you need him to keep propagating the species, he still has the ability to do it, and he still has the ability to somewhat attract females to be able to do it. So it's all by design to keep us, keep the species going, no matter what species it is.
Hey Chris.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah, Kendrick.
And that's really why I said, who the hell for somebody to tell me that they need to force or mandatory vasectomy on brothers who ain't even got no kids, Chris? Do that make any sense?
You said a mandatory vasectomy?
I said they don't need to be making it mandatory for no man to get no vasectomy.
Right.
Yeah, that it's not happening. It's not happening. It's gonna be a lot of dead bodies if you try to force men to get vasectomies.
Hey, I'm gonna put something up that's a topic for another day. But if you attempt to push men in a corner and force them to do things they don't want to do, I'm going to show you just the headline. That's the wrong one. That's the right point. But
that was a woman, you know, using her free time to still be looking for her man, dude. You know, you subconsciously delivered a good example.
Point I'm trying to get across is what they're doing down in Mexico. You all know what Mexican cartel is doing to feminists?
No, but I'm sure you can tell.
For some reason, it's not showing up. Yeah, man.
The Mexican cartel, let's see, they're getting Christmas cards, getting birthday presents.
Why the hell?
I think you sent me that the other day, actually, that they're being killed, right?
Exactly. Oh, here it is. Here's the headline. Why have feminists been disappearing in Mexico? The government and the patriarchal justice systems are threatening the lives of the country's women, and not only are the feminists being executed, any man who stands up to defend them, he's getting the same treatment.
Well, let them get them femmes too. Yeah, let them. I go to the cartel personally and tell them to come over and get these femmes.
Hey, Ted.
Oh, hell no.
Bravo. Bravo.
So
hey, I just said that again. That's what we need to do with the Sims.
Hey, the cartel.
Yeah, can you nominate the cartel for Nobel Peace Prize?
What do you guys think of the woman? What's her name? I just had up talking. Karen Strahan.
Karen.
Hi, miss.
Hey, come on, Michael Strahan's ex-wife?
Excellent point.
Is that Michael Strahan's ex-wife?
Say that again, Chris.
I said, is that Michael Strahan's ex-wife?
I don't know.
That was a good video that you brought up with the lady talking, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's the truth. I mean, any man would have to bring his knownness. They know that women were never oppressed. They just got bored. They got bored, and so, you know, they needed a purpose. And so that's what feminism did. It gave them a purpose. It didn't matter that it was all, you know, rooted in bullshit. They just needed a purpose because they no longer had to spend hours cooking because they had microwaves. You know, they no longer had to spend hours washing clothes because they had washers and dryers now. So, you know, now what are they going to do with all this free time? You know, the children are at school. Men do anything else.
Exactly.
They ain't looking up stocks. They fucking not growing marijuana plants. They not collecting coupons. Like, damn. No productivity whatsoever, yo.
So maybe this is the real problem we have. And so maybe women think by voting that they're actually doing something. But I think it was in the 2008 when Obama was running. Someone, or it could have been 2004, but whoever was running against the person, the news went on the street and asked women. They wanted to see what do women think, what do women understand about politics. And one of the women said, "Oh, I would never vote for that guy. You see his tie? You couldn't. This guy doesn't know how to match clothes. I can't vote for a guy who wears a tie like that." Another woman said, "I would never vote for that guy. He's not attractive, and we could never have an unattractive president of the United States representing us globally." So the things that women on the street were saying about how they would choose a presidential candidate were, it was just out of control. But it's like we've given them so many conveniences, and I guess voting is one way for them to feel like they have a purpose and they're doing something, but are they as engaged in it in understanding the big picture, and do they really care? Unless it's going to
they don't
purpose,
they,
personal.
They don't care. They don't care. They don't care because no matter what, let's say the country gets taken over, you know. Whatever, you know, we go back to the dark ages, you know, everything, we become so far in debt as a country that China actually comes in and takes us over. They don't care because they will always be taken care of. It's going to be the men that will be forced to build, it'll be the men that are enslaved, it'll be the men forced to rebuild societies, it'll be the men doing all the heavy lifting. They don't care because they don't have to do any of the work.
Samuel, go ahead. Do you have any thoughts about Samuel? I just brought you in.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. I got to do a sound check first. Can you hear me clear?
Perfect. Yeah, loud and clear.
Let me go back to the topic. Now, the topic was married women vote. Now, my personal opinion, children, which married men I know, they see the women as children. They headache, they get on their nerves, whatever the case may be. But my opinion is these same bras destroy families, cheat, everything that's under the sun. I really don't see how their vote would make difference because they, in my opinion, just don't give a F. Can't change a woman's nature. So I'm curious, and I need to understand why. Because she's married, that makes a difference in how her logic would be in her mind as far as her vote preference.
Go ahead. I've spoken a lot this evening. Go ahead.
Well, it won't change her nature, but I would say that, I mean, I get what you're saying on that path. I mean, you're not going to change a woman's nature, but I don't think they should have rights over dictating voting because sometimes they do handle things very childish and immature, and I think men should have that part of leadership over voting. Is that what you, I'm answering that question, sir? Are you still there, Samuel?
Well, the fact is that it is what it is, and they ask, but we all know they have, as far as population, they outnumber us.
Yep. Why?
But logically, they destroy us. So I'm just trying to stick to the topic because I often get off topic. I get talking about stuff that got nothing to do with nothing. But I'm just trying to get understanding why. Because she got married, and all of a sudden she got common sense.
Right. Right. That's exactly it.
They get hyped because they're like, oh, she was able to get a guy to put a ring on it.
She's still the same dumbass. She's just the same dumbass. She's just a dumbass with a shiny piece of jewelry now.
But real talk, though, fellas, I guarantee y'all that them Long Island Italian mob boys and them Cubans and them Colombians, kid, I guarantee you them boys do not have these problems with voting in political situations in their communities. I guarantee you. Chris, no, I can't. Chris can elaborate what I'm talking about.
I want to know one dude whose wife estimated changing his life. But she gets on her damn nerves. But financially, she's on point. Emotionally, she's crazy as hell. So I don't think the fact that they're married has anything to do with anything.
No, not at all.
There's no relevance. They are still the same child.
Someone said something interesting. Why let them vote at all? The world was built without them voting with a successful system.
That's what I was saying.
Because I know a few individual good ones. Maybe because, again, being that they are human beings, obviously.
Okay. A few exceptions to the norm.
The loophole that they pulled on us was back in the 60s. They didn't want to comply with having the 19th Amendment, the right to vote.
Wow.
Unless the requirement to enroll in selective services was removed. And shit. They got it removed right there. They went right away. And shit. So that's why, as I said earlier, we conduct an audit, a review, just be like, all right, what have y'all done with this? And we see that the bad always the good, obviously. We give like a time period in which they'll still have, like, you know, the right to vote and see what good they make of it. That's a compromise I'm willing to offer. You know, out of respect for this humanity on all sides of the spectrum and shit. But again, the responsibility that does not exempt them from responsibility or accountability.
Why do you need to give them another grace period? They've already had a grace period.
Why? How many out of you three, Ted, Redfield, and Cash first? Have any of you all ever seen a woman change her own tire?
I might have seen three in my life.
Damn, that's a lot. Well, the point that I'm making is from my personal experience, I just don't see them for being good for anything except for recognition. And I don't hate women. I'm just being real.
Wow, we love women, but we acknowledge if somebody's a good shortstop or a good pitcher, you acknowledge the position that they're good at. If somebody can make some amazing mashed potatoes or fire lasagna, whatever, that's what they're good at. That is what they're good at. You know, they could be good at more, but overwhelmingly, that's their shit.
I asked a gentleman that once went to town last week. I said, would you rather have a woman who's ugly and intelligent or beautiful and dumb? Mm. And they had the wrong answer. And they couldn't justify their answer, but they tried to. And I said, the fact you can't try to justify it proves that you know you're wrong. But it's like the fact that we all we are now was due to females, in my opinion. Because everything was pretty much going normal until women got involved, which men allowed to get involved. And I think it's political because I think it's like a bigger power that be who wants this to take place in order to do what they're trying to accomplish. I don't think men either want to realize it or accept it, or they're just dumb because they think you got a big butt. It's all that matters. And it's like, personally, I blame the men for what's going on now. I don't blame the women. They're following their nature. I blame the men.
Don't blame me. Because I ain't got nothing to do with this.
I don't understand how... Well, not all me. I mean, I don't. I shouldn't have to be not all. The thing is, it's like men see what's going on and they accept it. And I can't blame the young men because they was not raised around men. They was raised around broad who now go out thinking that they are entitled because of whatever reason. But getting back to this, I'm trying to stick on the subject because every time I get off it, why is that because she's married that her opinion is going to be more logical or have common sense versus the average thought?
That's right, B. Look right now. I'm going to hide her name. But look right now. There's a woman on my Facebook who posted this. I don't think I can see the caption on it. Let's see.
Craven Dick, but unwilling to deal with
it.
Yeah, I see.
What did I tell you?
It says Craven Dick.
You know what I always say? I say every wife is a whore at the husband's fair.
Yep.
Because she could have been his whore, but he decided to make her a wife.
Yep.
If he still hadn't made her a wife, she was a whore for another dude until he decided to make her a wife.
Based on what women see, that they should be getting by default out of a relationship is literally a portable sex worker. That's all it really is.
If it wasn't for sex, I don't think men find no interest in them. That's why when I go to work, I dress professionally. But they got their butts and panties put up in their ass just to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, as you can see, she's not here to work. She's the hoe. I don't have to put a ass to do my job, but women do that shit every day.
Hey, Sam, I know the solution to that.
Ass in the ass, the titties out, makeup on, all the hair done. It's not for you. You don't work at her job. But she's not going to vote. But you think she's going to vote for the betterment of society?
Mm-hmm.
Look. That's my thing with what you just said. If she's working for me, she better come in there dressed professional. She got to go right back out that same door that she just come in. Not represent me, my firm, or my business. She ain't coming up there
halfway. If you don't work at her job, it's
but she works for me. She represents me.
Because you don't work there. So when she goes
to work,
she got a hair done, a makeup on, a pants put up in the ass. It's not for her man because he don't work at her job.
Hey, hold it. Time right there. Kendrick, what are you saying?
I said she represent me, that owner, that business, or whatever, like that brother said, wherever she from, she better come up in that door, and Chris will agree with me. She need to come in there with some long sleeves on, bra, clothes up, no kind of sex appeal showing, but she can go right back out that same door she come up in.
Got it.
Because she represent me, she represent my money. And anything tied to my money, that'll hurt me.
So here's a question that I ask a lot of women. Do you get dressed up just to stay home with your man? Because you see how women get dressed up and look beautiful to go out, we're going to dinner, or like you're saying, they want to go to work looking good. But how many women do that just to be at home with their man? I mean, that, and you know, women will say, well, when you met me, I dressed like this, so you should just accept it, except she's still only doing that for the outside world, because I guess she thinks, I have you, I already got your attention, and I got you, so I don't need to do this for you. I'm looking for validation from the rest of the world. So, That's another mindset of creating kind of a herd mentality, right? So I think that's kind of what you guys are getting at. It doesn't matter if she's married or single. There's this kind of herd mentality of looking for validation. So women might still vote whether they're married or single. They may have more of a need for validation and may still vote the same in the masses. And then you'll just be left with, I think, what Cash, you were trying to get at is there are a few exceptions to the rule, except how do you out of 340 million people, how do you account for those exceptions if they only make up 1% of the population or less?
No, you're absolutely right. You know, that's the difficult part about it. And again, you know, that's what I try to do with my channel, like bring these few good women on and just tell them, look, with me, you're going to have a shit ton of guys that will make sure to keep the line safe for you, but you better be honest. You better be valid, transparent, and you know, accountable of your fellow females. Because, again, us as men, all the time, when it comes to holding men accountable, it gets to the point of death, you know? You know, the motherfucker, whatever the caliber of his crime, that's how we'll be holding that. We don't, unless there's a valid reason, we don't really make excuses for people. With them, they'll be sworn enemies. And when it comes time to unite against men, Gorilla Glue, boom.
So it sounds like what
they form both, John B.
It sounds like what a lot of guys are saying. It doesn't matter if she's married or single. Technically, we shouldn't have women voting.
My battery went dead.
Okay. But what I'm getting at, and Sam, you're saying it too. It sounds like what men are saying is it doesn't matter if a woman is single or married. She doesn't want the same responsibilities that a man has, and she's not going to look at.
Yeah, of course. But can you hear me? Because my battery went dead. I want to make sure you can hear me now.
We can hear you clear. I hear everything.
Okay, let me say this right quick.
Let me
talk about married women.
Hold on.
You know how many married women
Sam,
I've had
Sam.
In the parking lot, Walgreens, Kroger,
Sam.
Walmart?
Sam.
They don't have any damn
Sam.
Self-respect. They don't have any principles.
Hey, Sam.
They don't
care.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Hold on.
I was on the rampage.
Hold on. So it doesn't
ready to spit that fire.
It doesn't matter if a man or if a woman is married or not. It sounds like what men are saying is because women don't want to take on the same responsibilities and whether it's the way their brain works or the way they're raised, they don't look at the big picture the same way men do. So
that's the point that I'm making. So why does it matter whether or not they're married?
Hold on. So having women vote married or single is not going to be in the best interest of the nation. And I gave examples of women on the street. I mean, I know a lot of women would say, I don't think like that, but there are probably too many women who base it on surface, right? A group of female psychologists, sociologists, and anthropologists, they created a project and they got funded. And the project was to prove that men are more shallow than women. And this was women who did this. Before their whole research project was over, they found out that it was the reverse, that women literally are more shallow than men. So being married is not going to change that, is what I'm hearing from you guys, is that the problem, there's a bigger problem, whether you call it from biology or brain function, mindset, that women are not the best
that's the point that I'm making. I agree with you. Because I'm too many women who have husbands.
Sam, I know you're on fire, but hold on.
I'm sorry. My phone and TV is not communicating properly. Go ahead.
Hold on. So women are not in the best mental or not as mentally fit to make these kinds of decisions. This is kind of what I'm hearing guys saying. This is what I'm concluding. And am I hearing people correctly or am I off base?
You're hearing us correctly.
Okay. So marriage is...
Okay, let me ask you this.
Got it.
Let me ask you this. When a man meets a woman, it's usually a sexual attraction that attracts him to her. It's not her personality. He has to be attracted to her physically before he wants to talk to her.
Right.
Am I correct?
I would say that.
So once she gets a man or a boyfriend, side, what would the title they give him? It was usually based off physical attraction, nothing to do with intellect. So when he decides to make her my woman, for some particular reason, she's still being broad. She's not any more intelligent or whatever, because you have to have on something to get his attention. But once she gets him, she still does the same. She hasn't stopped. She's still wearing the pants up in the butt. She's still wearing the all that BS to get attraction. So because she got a man does not change her. The fact that because she got married does not change her. So it doesn't make her more intelligent when it comes to anything. She's still going to do the same thing she's been doing. So whether she was single, then got married, she's still going to have the same mindset. Whether she got children or whatever, she's still going to have the same mindset. In my
That's
opinion.
Why I say, like, we have a pardon me, will you finish my bad?
No, I'm through. I want the interaction because I need to be cut off because I go on forever.
Yeah, no, because I heard a pause, that's why. So I figured, all right, let me chime in real quick.
Well, thank you for
that. That's why, definitely. That's why I say we conduct the audit, you know, massive review, all right, detailed to the max, what has been the good and the bad within the time period that women have had full-blown voting rights. If we see that the bad outweighs the good, we then present them with a time constraint, right? A threshold. We could give them two more election cycles or another election cycle, whatever we agree on, right? In which they got to show that they're going to vote more constitutional, because again, we do live in a constitutional republic. You know, our voting system is democratic. That's what they say is democracy. But the entity of the land that we live on, its basis is a constitutional republic, hence, you know, our constitutional rights. So we give them a time period. If we see that they're not voting constitutionally, right there, all right, y'all cannot handle this responsibility. You know, you're not going to let some crazy, you know, completely mentally disordered, you know, drunk motherfucker drive the car. Okay, hold on. You know, who else could drive?
Can you start, Red Pill? Thoughts? What are your thoughts?
My thoughts on it, I agree with Cash. I agree with Sam, too, on some things, but, you know, the society we got right now and what we get is presented to us has been socially engineered. I do believe that a lot of it is the deep state that's playing a role in it, and this is the reason why we have a lot of the conflict, because, on the other hand, I guess governments and systems are in place to keep division going and confusion going so they can control and manipulate the masses. That's what I do with you.
Well, and real quick, that still doesn't leave the women exempt, you know, just to put that out there. So we're not saying that exempts women. We're saying that there's a tool, but they're the ones using it.
Right.
Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
If you married, girlfriend, whatever, this should stay off your intellect or your swagger?
Say it again. You said intellect or swagger.
If you have a woman, side chick, whatever, does she get you because of your intellect or your swagger?
I usually get the chicks to like my intellect.
But what attracted her, it had to be something before she talked to you that attracted her to you.
Oh, yeah, it was my style. It was the energy, you know, my swagger.
Right. So the thing is, it had nothing to do with your intellect that attracted her.
Right, it was charisma, energy, my style, my swagger, right.
It goes the same way as far as politics. You're attracted to that position. So her intellect, like we are attracted to a woman because of what we see first. If we don't know she got a fake ass and fake tits before we talk to her, we're going to talk to her until we find out different. But the thing is, if the initial attraction, the intellect got nothing to do with it. So if the intellect wasn't there, it's not going to be there from that point on. It's all about the game don't stop.
True.
It's like if you don't work out and you get fat, what's going to happen? Even if you work out and you don't get fat, guess what's going on? Because you're not around her 24/7. She's going to do her thing. Her mind is going to wander. She's going to feel like, oh, he's not doing this and that for me. This dude complimented me. So guess what? Other words, they have no common sense. I'm sorry, Ted. I don't want to get you banned. I mean, I mean, instead of the F word. But the point that I'm making
Now, exercise
when it comes to logical common sense, they don't have it. They looking at the false. They got nothing to do with the real stuff. That's the same thing with politics. I can put up in a Lamborghini right now. I can be this hell, but guess how many women I'm gonna get? Whether they married or not. That's the point that I'm making. Because they married got nothing to do with their vote.
So I did an interesting social experiment on Facebook. And I went and found a picture of someone else who was so average. He just, like, on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of looks for a man, he was probably like a 4 or 5, right? And I had, Samuel, I had quite a few women engage me, and they didn't find him attractive. And some of these women were more attractive than others. But what these women were willing to do was to engage me and even look to be intimate with me, because they liked my mind. So red pill, like you're saying, like women really did like you for your intelligence. So I ran this experiment on Facebook for a number of years, and it was interesting to see a small percentage of women. They looked at my profile picture as some dead average looking dude, and they liked my brain. They said, I like the way your mind works. So I'm willing to, you know, move forward with
it. Well, yeah, because I from my experience, that's usually what a lot of them has, you know, been intrigued with, because it's the mystery of knowing that you have knowledge, you can apply it, and then sometimes they look at it too. If your mind works this way, then you're capable of being a good provider with gold, because the way you think, you can take charge of situations.
Exactly.
And so they figure that you all give them way too much credit. Y'all giving women way too much credit. I want to chill with y'all.
I ain't giving no woman credit, boy.
I'm putting some real.
No, I ain't.
That triple dip thing. I went in with a cashier, black woman, and some other woman. Hell, she was, but she was fine as hell with two women, two children, and the cashier. We was talking about my order that she couldn't get right for some reason. I started just being who I am. Both these bras walked out to my car to look at my car. Now, this bra got two children. The other bra, I don't know what else she got, but they both walked out to my car. Point I'm making, if they got a man, or that man was with them, wouldn't have did that. Because he wasn't there, guess what they did? So it's like, you can't trust them.
Examine an option.
She belongs to the streets. You can't trust them.
I understand that.
To do the right thing, especially if you're not them. So when she's at work, where she's at, you're not there. They're going to do what they're going to do, which is the female's nature.
She better not bring that dude up my house. That's all I can tell you, Sam. Real talk. Real talk. We on some convict stuff over here.
Like, I don't see how men, as women, because the game won't stop till you die. Even then, if she more or less, if you get that life insurance, pay the house off, pay the cars off, and she's going to get another dude before the year ends. But the thing is,
now with me,
again, women way too much credit. We gotta accept the fact that women only get with us for the reason of stability or not being alone.
Sam,
that's
no,
it.
They're
not gonna vote for the right thing. They're gonna vote for what they've been manipulated to vote for.
Sam, I'm just telling you about a social experiment that I ran on Facebook. I'm just telling you the reason.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was sorry to cut you off.
I have no opinion about it. I'm just telling you what happened, and I was relating it to Red Pill because it does happen. It does. I mean, I used the most average and unattractive guy, not ugly, but just average. There was nothing.
Yeah, I've seen it. So go ahead.
No. That was good.
Yo,
but no, hold on, Kendrick. Hold on. So I'm only getting at that whether it's the result of socioeconomic class, like there, and I think this is what Cash was trying to get at, right? So there are exceptions to the rule, but I think the problem is the numbers are too small.
Well, fuck it, the numbers are super small. That's what I always say. You know, they're good women. I'm like, yeah, but it's so little, y'all. That's like 10 motherfuckers versus 1,000 Trojans. Come on, let's be real.
Right.
All right, so
go ahead,
No, I understand. True. You're telling the truth. The numbers.
Okay, well, let me say this too. This is my opinion. Women, in my opinion, I hope I get you banned. I know you're going through patience. You both got stay blocked.
First Amendment.
Women are not logical. They're strictly material, in my opinion. You got swag, that bad boy, that reputation. They would leave the best man in the world to spend an hour with you in the Kroger parking lot. They don't care. It's all about that bull, that BS, and they with it every time. I've yet to have them say to me, who approached me, I don't miss women. I don't, because I figure, I'm surprised. You got
I'm
like
what
I got.
You
got
I'm not getting what you're saying, Sam. What's your name, Sam? I believe what you're saying. I always hear the joke that King Drake said that the antidote to feminism is playerism. They do love players, and they do love being finesse. They love it. They attract the finesses.
So I actually get the credit because they got married to make the right decision.
Why? Well, the ones married still do what they do too. They just more organized with it.
Hmm. No, I can't really agree with that. I've had women, married women of all races, risk everything for me. And I'm like,
geographical, you know.
Well, I'm down here at ATL, but it's like,
what I'm talking about.
Pretty dirty down there in D.C. and Maryland. They're more, the women here are more organized, where they'll delete everything in their app, or they'll have an app where they can shake their phone and it disappear, or they'll wait till they pay their
bill. That's hilarious. Yo, that happened to me recently. Some shorty from that area, this stupid anonymous, coming at me. They come out one bit. And it's just, I'm like, yo, I'm going to put the ball in your court. We adults. You got your spot. I got my spot. There's a range something. And all of a sudden, she like vanishes and shit. And I'll leave it at that.
Women are more sloppy with cheating and getting around. We saw that on All-Star Weekend. They was a sloppy.
Let me say this right here, though. Real life, back in the days, a fat woman knew she was fat. An ugly woman knew she was ugly. She got online now, and they got these, what they want to call them, I don't know what they call them, but they got these dudes that crave that. These women can't be celebrities now. In real life, they can't get nobody. They go online, they're celebrities. So it's
body positivity.
They're so easily manipulated. They so easily. But like, you can be home to them right now. You at the Sunday. You both got the day off. She raggedy as hell, looking ugly, ain't took an hour. But you say let's go out. She get pretty and all this shit. She ain't doing that shit for you because she was looking raggedy all damn day for you. But then we go out with other men to see her. Now she want to get dressed up. It's not for you. It's for other men to see her.
Well,
it's for that other man to be in a casket, bro. That's what's going to happen to him. If I catch him.
It's going to come and just be like, she's been around me all day looking raggedy. I said, let's go out and let's get pretty.
Sam, hold on. We got you. Hold on, Red Pill. What were you going to say?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was saying that I travel a lot, and I've noticed that certain geographical regions of what we're talking about works different for different situations, meaning like if you go to New York, the Bronx, or Brooklyn, women are more aggressive. They look too masculine. If you go to Atlanta, they real southern, where they real that cookie strip and grits. They real nice, but they fast. They're more promiscuous, but they more sloppy with their, you know, promiscuous. Like between Atlanta, Florida, or more deep down south. If you go to the mid region like D.C., maybe Virginia, they organize players. With a woman here, they can keep men in rotation, but they're more elegant. You don't know, huh? So when I used to travel a lot, I lived in Hawaii for 2 years. I lived in Maui, and I used to travel a lot, come back. I see Cali chicks versus New York chicks. I like the California chicks better because they was a little more talkative. They was a little more social. They was more butterfly-y, a little more easy to approach. New York girls would be looking like a pit bull, but still want you to talk to them, but still be kind of like want to dominate you. And then one day I went to go visit the Bronx. I saw the most hottest Dominican chicks all lined up in line dressed up like they was going to the club in the courthouse because, you know, I'm a bodyguard. So I had to go up there with a bunch of bodyguards to do some paperwork for people in the courthouse. And the chicks was lined up like they were about to go to the club. And I was just like, yeah, this is weird. Like, so make a long story short, I was just like, so one day when I was in town, a lot of New York ladies was in town. And I was just like, you know why y'all can't get husbands all over the region and why y'all can't pick men, get men? Because y'all are so dominating and loud and aggressive where y'all New York men are coming to my region, getting booked and be getting husband up where and going down south getting picked because you guys are so bully. Y'all have a bully mentality. And so then when I was down south, I noticed that the southern girls were real nurturing, but they was real.
Oh, hell no. I can't get with you on that. I've been alive most of my life. I cannot get with you on that.
No, what I mean is they southern down to earth, but they still have this part about them that you like, something ain't right. I can't say it.
They not rah-rah, but they still suspect.
Right.
I'm gonna put it like this here. When I'm from Atlanta, I've been in Atlanta most of my life. I'm very local. I don't like to travel because I don't fly. I don't trust other people to take me anywhere. These broads, I don't care if they married, ugly, beautiful, whatever the case may be, coochie smell like whatever, they will come after the dude who's seen as a player. They will come after you. But if you come down and don't offer the D off the beginning, they think something wrong with you. Meaning that they don't respect men at all. They think that because they say, hey, I want you, people say, here it is. They cannot handle rejection. Not even rejection, just regular conversation when we get to that point. I had one broad tell me, I'm not a church of chicken woman. She's married, got a beautiful car, and I'm like, I'm just smoking the cigarette. This bitch crazy. Excuse me. This broad crazy. But men are the reason they're like that. So
yeah, they are.
I cannot trust them at all.
A lot of sense in Atlanta. You couldn't, if you came to D.C. and Maryland and did what you did in the parking lot, that would be like nothing to hear. They would be like, okay, well, what's that?
Let's hear what you just said, a lot of sense. Okay, that means she's used to sense. But she gets the dude who's not catering to her. He's gonna perk her attention because he's not catering to her. If she sees him more than once, if she sees him on a regular basis, he's going to be the objective. He's going to be the one she's trying to get. But when she gets him, she's going to lose interest. Same with her husband. She got him. So guess what? She lost interest. It don't matter. She got children. It don't matter.
It's like baby Hollywood. I mean, we have Quavo as a product from an Atlanta area. What I'm saying is what they can do there, they cannot pull that off here. It would not work here. In certain regions, it only works. Like you couldn't
determine human nature to the environment.
So I lived in D.C. and for more than 10 years, and I live in Jersey, New York. I lived out of the country. So
let me ask you this:
Sam, hold on. Yes, because there are things that happen down there in Atlanta that they bring that
up. I can't agree with that. I've met women up north, and it's like a female's nature.
The things that women are doing down there, we will laugh at them. That's not bright at all.
I mean, I agree with you, but I've met women from many different places there. To my opinion, a woman's nature is a woman's nature.
Sam,
once she gets word you're a player and you will make her dreams come true, she's going to give in.
What I'm saying is this, is the mindset of the women in the South is a little different and not as aggressive as the women here.
Oh, I agree with that.
New Jersey, right?
I agree with that. So
the game that
the game
that they're running down there or in the South is
I understand
the entitlement, but I'm saying there are things that they're running in the South that would make them a joke here. They would get exploited here is what would happen.
I'm giving women too much credit, man. You're giving them too much credit.
I'm telling you something that's what he's saying, Sam, is facts, man. That would be child's play here, man. That would not work here.
Okay.
See, down here, I agree with you. I get that point. Let me ask you this. I've had surgeons. I've had corporate women. And guess what? They were all big-ass you-know-what. They all had good-ass husbands. But because they heard that I was that dude, they threw themselves at me. And when I threw them away, they threw themselves back. But they
That won't work if you came. That wouldn't work in certain regions. It would be a different challenge. It's like you would have to, like, the law of attraction. Just like if Cash went to Atlanta, he would be a Goku. He would be a Dragon Ball Z god down there because he has a New York swag with Tams. He's an Army veteran. He sticks out. So they're gonna be like, oh, he got money. He got wealth. He's too. They're gonna look at him. They think he's somebody connected to the industry. Different regions of different guys fit out. If you come up here to D.C. and Maryland or New York or New Jersey, you will stand out.
There.
People will like you because
I've
they've
been there.
Okay, but I've like different there. Regions has effect on personality-wise. People will like you. When I lived in Hawaii for 2 years, the Samoan females took a liking to me because I was from a different region, different area.
Even your accent.
So, hey, who are you?
Even
I agree
accent.
With that.
Accent.
You know what I got when I went?
Hey, Sam, hold on.
I got...
Sam, hold on.
Okay,
so,
I'm sorry.
Even when they hear your accent, they know you're from somewhere else.
What accent, man? I'm Irish.
I'm talking to Fred Phil. Your accent, they'll know you're not from there, right?
And it all, like, I lived in North Carolina for 6 years, and I was popular in North Carolina because I sound between upstate Chicago and D.C. because somehow, I don't know what it is, there's a lot of people from D.C., that live in Chicago, and a lot of Chicago people live in D.C., but it has a mixture and a blend, and sometimes you can pick it up on both. So when we lived in, you know, North Carolina, people be like, hey, where are you? Are you from them areas? And I'm like, no, I'm from the DMV area. So, and then the southern chicks will be like, hey, we like y'all state of mind. You guys are real fast thinking. But I was just like, I'm like, nah, you know, we just who we is. And then they're like, hey, you know what? Y'all some cool, you know, are you a Yankees? Are you from the, do y'all stay kid? And I'm like, no, that's New York, and New York is going to talk like that. So it will be stuff like that. And then I noticed when we would go to, like, beaches or parties, New York, New Jersey, and D.C. Maryland guys would get all the chicks, like, you from a certain region,
right.
Because they was just a different style. They would be down there on their motorcycles. So what I'm saying is, it is something that's dealing with the different regions of how behavior dictates. Because I know it's like, I like Southern girls when it comes to fun. Southern girls are more open to fun stuff, rendezvous, that most D.C. New York girls have taboos about. You know, like Southern girls are more open to polygamy and being a polygamist than Northern
girls. I'm going to have to cut you off here because I've dealt with most women from most of the states. Personally, from my states, they're all the same. I'm arrogant as hell. When they see me, he don't speak to me.
Right.
He ignore me. He didn't compliment me. They cannot take their eyes off me, regardless of where they're from. They be like, I have to get this dude's attention. And they cannot
all women have that energy. But when it comes to personality and it comes to dictating behavior, the behaviors are different in different states. Because when you go to different places, behaviors is different. A chick from Kentucky ain't the same from a chick from Arkansas or Alabama. An Alabama chick ain't different from a chick from New Orleans. Like a chick from Miami or any in the Florida regions, I'm more skeptical of them because they're very nice and conniving sneaky. They sneaky, but they got a motive. Or a chick from South Carolina. I don't like females from South Carolina. So what I'm saying is that because different reasons of different experiences does dictate certain stuff. I mean, it's just like somebody was saying, hey, somebody from New York, when I was in North Carolina, I used to laugh at some of the Southerners. They'd be like, I want to make sure you're not from New York. And I'd be like, why?